The following is a special presentation of the Penn Sports Radio Network, broadcasting University of Pennsylvania men's basketball on 88.5 XPN. It's 2007-2008 Penn men's basketball, setting the scene for the game going around the Ivy League and bringing you inside the program with Quaker head coach Glenn Miller. It's the Penn men's basketball pregame show presented by Pepsi. Alongside former Quaker Vince Curran, here's Brian Seltzer.
Less than 24 hours after an exhilarating and exhausting defeat to Ivy League champion Cornell, the Penn Quakers take their home court for the final time this campaign. The red and blue will rev up the emotions one more time. It is senior night for Michael Katz, Joe Gill, and Brian Grandier. With that, from the Palestra, capacity 8,722 on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania in West Philadelphia, this is Penn Basketball. Brian Seltzer with you on the Pepsi pregame show. If you are driving in and around the University City area and you see a speeding green sport utility vehicle, that could be Vince Curran. He'll be joining me very shortly after he's just done television work for Temple and LaSalle. It's the Quakers' 30th game of this 2007-2008 season. The Red and Blue are 11-18 overall, fourth in the conference at 6-6, while the Columbia Lions are 14-14. They are third at 7-6, so the Quakers trying to vie for third place. Penn and Columbia tip off for the 213th time. The Quakers have a handle on the rivalry between these ancient foes, 131-81 in the all-time rivalry. The Lions looked the red and blue pretty good, though, back on February 8th, 74-58 at Levian Gymnasium in Morningside Heights. The Penn Quakers and the Columbia Lions come your way momentarily. On the other side, we'll hear from Quaker head coach Glenn Miller. That's all coming up as the Pepsi pregame show continues here on 88.5 XPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
My head keeps turning like Russian roulette.
Pepsi supports Penn basketball on XPN. For more information about Pepsi products, like the traditional cola, the new Diet Pepsi Max, and purified Aquafina water, the website is Pepsi.com. Pepsi, it's the cola. For the most up-to-date information on Penn basketball, visit the official University of Pennsylvania Athletics website at PennAthletics.com.
Hi, this is head coach Glenn Miller, and you're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 FCM, the Penn Sports Network.
The door is closed on the Palestra for this 2007-2008 season after it's the 14-14, 7-6 Columbia Lions, and the 11-18, 6-6 Penn Quakers. Sitting to my left, fresh off a television broadcast.
Hey, Southie.
Back on the Penn Sports Radio Network. It is the Vin Man, Vince Curran.
Hey, pal. Back and ready to go.
How are you?
Up there on 20th Colony today, doing the Owls and the Explorers.
Who won?
Temple University and Fran Dunphy put it on the Explorers to gain a share of the Big Five title.
How do you like that?
And the second place in the Atlantic 10, and then fortunately it didn't go overtime, and there wasn't a lot of traffic on Roosevelt Boulevard, and I was able to finagle. Was probably an illegal parking spot here at the Palestra, and I'm sure I'll find out from the great Peggy Kowalski if I am parked illegally. But I'm happy to be back, Duffy.
Tim, man, you actually were in the building last night on the television side on CN8.
Sitting behind you.
It was an awesome game. A great atmosphere. How did you feel, especially down the stretch when it was a call that could have gone either way, but I know that you have the benefit of television replay.
Television replay I had, and a couple things came to mind at the end of that game. One, I thought Ryan Whitman should have missed that last free throw. Why make it at that point? Because if Penn's going to throw in a 50-footer, you're going to lose either way. Two, why is Adam Poore reaching in on Tyler Bernardini, putting himself in harm's way? And three, I hate to say this, Brian, but I didn't think it was a foul. We looked at it from three different angles. Two of them, it was pretty clear that it was not a foul. There was one angle he looked at and said, oh, my gosh, you really could call it. I was on the fence about it, but realistically, when it all came down to it, I just didn't think it was a foul.
Now, let me ask you this. Based upon the way the game was officiated with what had been called previously by Frank Stagliano and Company, could that have been a foul based upon the way the rest of the game?
Yeah.
But the refusal to put the foul out and
played.
It was.
Cornell could have made the case for the Penn could have made. One play comes to mind. Ryan Whitman has a rebound in the corner here in front of the Penn bench. And on the replay, he gets fouled five times. And you count them off. One, two, three, four, five. Literally got fouled five times on the play and didn't get a call. So I think that come down to one play being the difference in the game. Yeah, I mean, you'd love to have Tyler Eppel shooting three free throws with a chance to win it. Yeah, you're probably right. I think that it was not their finest moment, and it could have gone either way.
Last night, a whole lot of emotions against Cornell. Tonight, a lot of emotions because it was the senior send-off for the Quaker class of 2008. That is one of the topics I bring up with Glenn Miller tonight. But first, I have to ask the John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball here at Penn what his reaction was to the end of last night's game.
Coach, an emotionally charged finish to the game last night. The Quakers coming up just short. How did you see that final play develop?
Well, my biased opinion was that there was contact there. And, you know, I think reaction from Tyler was contact there. But look at that like it was the major factor in the game. There was plenty of plays throughout the game where we just didn't make the plays we needed to make, and, you know, Cornell made more plays and won the game.
What did the Big Red do during that 8-minute stretch midway through the second half where Penn's offense seemed to struggle a little bit?
Well, I really don't think it was anything that Cornell did. I didn't think they had a great defensive game at all. I think it was more that we made some ill-advised shots and quick shots off of one pass and made some ill-advised passes. We talked repeatedly in timeouts during that stretch that we needed to play with more discipline, especially in this critical situation, have more patience and change sides of the floor offensively. Make a simple pass and create a high percentage shot, and it's still a young team, and you know, we did a lot of good things last night, but you know, when the game's on the line and the going gets tough, we just have to be more mentally tough.
Overall, how pleased were you with the way the Penn came out, really from start to finish, and they had a lot of intensity when they brought the court?
Well, despite the scoring in the game, I thought we came out with good ball pressure and just a lot of energy, and you know, really played like a determined team, like a Penn team should.
Speaking with Quaker head coach Glenn Miller before Columbia tonight, second time around against the Lions, a tough result up there the first time back at the beginning of February. What adjustments are you looking to make?
Well, let's see if we can play a physical game with some energy tonight. We've recently had difficulty on back-to-back nights, on a Saturday night. We've had some good Friday night performances and some real downers on Saturday. And, you know, this is the type of team that we have trouble with. We've shown all year long that we have problems with teams that have guards that can penetrate and teams that are big and physical on the front line. And, you know, as a first team all conference player, a player of the year candidate we're playing against, he's named John Bauman, and he really hurt us last game. And, you know, he poked the problem. He requires a lot of attention down low, but then they have some good standstill shooters who can knock down the three. So they have good balance on offense.
The light blue also boasts some very good perimeter shooters. KJ Matsui displayed that firsthand the last time against Penn. Nico Scott has really risen to them as well. What improvements have you seen on film from Nico Scott?
Well, he's playing with much more confidence than he was earlier in the year. He had a very good freshman season and kind of had a little bit of a sophomore jinx until the second half of the year, and he's getting extended minutes, and he's played some real good basketball for him. He had 20 points last night, and obviously hurt us at Columbia in the first game.
Talking to Glenn Miller, the John R. Rockwell head coach of basketball here at Penn. Senior night for the Red and Blue, and I'll ask you to touch upon each of the seniors, starting off with Mike Katch. He's battled injuries. What has he left upon you in terms of an impression and now his 2 years back with the program?
Well, it's been a frustrating 2 years for Mike. You know, he's got a herniated disc in his back, and he's doing everything he can. He's practiced when at all possible. He's practiced through pain. He's played through pain, and it's just really held him back, and it's a shame. He possesses good athleticism. He's a great kid, and he's really a team guy. He only cares about the end result, and that's winning. It's not about him, and he's displayed that type of team attitude for 2 years now.
You know, he hasn't played or practiced in a while. He's going to try to come out and play tonight in his last home game. How long he can play, I don't know, but he'll definitely be playing with pain tonight.
Just how committed is Joe Gill to this program?
Well, you know, a guy who, in my 2 years of coaching him, has shown up every day and practiced with a great attitude and a lot of energy, and really a key guy on our championship team last year. What he brings to the table, it's not all about the Mark Zollers and Evie Jabbers. It's, you know, Joe Gill, you know, he brings team chemistry, team camaraderie. So he brings a lot to the table. He's going to get a start tonight. I'm hoping he plays well.
Lastly, Brian Grandieri, who has started every game this season for Penn. When you wrap around, you faced him for 2 years. You've had him as your own player for 2 years. What he's given you, has that exceeded what you thought was capable out of him?
Well, you know, I really didn't know, competing against Brian, I didn't know him as a person. He's a great person. All these kids are good kids, and Brian's right at the top of the list. He saw last night. We're out of, obviously, Cornell's going to the NCAA tournament. You know, when you're a senior and you're out of the race, you're not even competing for second place. You know, you can go out there and play for yourself. You can just go through the motions. Brian has a lot of pride, and that was evident last night against Cornell. He really battled and went after the Cornell players and played a terrific game. I'm expecting the same out of him tonight.
Let's hope that Penn pride translates tonight against Columbia as well. Coach, thanks for the time, and best of luck against Brian.
Okay, Brian, thank you.
United Healthcare supports Penn basketball on SPN. United Healthcare serves more than 26 million individual consumers and provides high-quality care from more than 535,000 physicians and care professionals while partnering with over 4,700 hospitals. Details available at UHC.com. Holiday Inn Philadelphia Historic District supports Penn basketball on SPN. Holiday Inn Philadelphia Historic District is located in Old City, Philadelphia.
Biggie spots up the three. The line drive. He picks it up. Cat left side. Bump in the bucket for Michael Cat. The jam on the follow! Exclamation point follow-up by Cam Lewis with the left hand. How about that?
Botel has it through the lane. Botel, the right hand. It goes off the back of the box.
Just another big shot. Smith connects from the outside this time. A three-pointer. Blocked by Brian Grandieri.
My man Rye comes over and says, get that stuff out of here.
University of Pennsylvania men's basketball in its 108th tradition-rich season is on the air. Now courtside, here's former Penn center, three-time letter winner for the Quakers, Vince Curran, and the play-by-play voice of Penn men's basketball, Brian Seltzer.
Anthony Palestra alongside Vince Curran, Brian Seltzer, the Quaker class of 2008, posing for a picture with Glenn Miller at center court. Michael Cash, Brian Grandieri.
Only yesterday, Seltzer, that we Pearl Harbored you and sent you out there, put you out there on your own.
Well, set it up with your parents. You blushed. You looked like you were ready to cry as you went out there, a little misty, a little teared up.
Well, because you worked your ways behind the scenes, I can now say that the two of us know what it's like to be out on the floor for senior night, and the emotions are charged. And Glenn said it great for that interview. These three kids are awesome. They're great guys, and they're going to be missed. They're going to be missed.
Great kids, great representatives of the program, and guys that we will welcome into that fraternity of ex-Penn basketball players and ex-Penn managers and radio people, and people that have been associated with the program over the years, and they will be a great addition to the group.
Joe Gill, the story for him, his commitment so much, and he's going to get the nod tonight, deservedly so. Brian Grandieri, a playing part of two Ivy title teams. He keeps the guys so loose, an exceptional leader. And then Michael Katz, the story of everyone gets a second chance, and he was going through some stuff as a freshman, worked that out. And now he's back on the floor for the Penn Quakers. And a reminder that our senior spotlight series continues tonight, and we'll hear about Joe Gill before Brian Grandieri on Tuesday. We'll step aside and come back with the tip and starting lineups after this.
lacrosse supports Penn Basketball on SPN, and for over 60 years has offered healthcare products and services designed to meet the changing healthcare needs of its customers. In Philadelphia, IBX provides health insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information, it's IBX.com.
Hi, I'm Johnny Meister, and every Saturday night starting at 7, I play the blues for you on XPN. The blues is the deepest root of America's popular music, and on the Blues Show, we've got blues from every decade from the 1920s to the present decade, whatever it's called. From town to country, solo to big band, Bessie Smith to B.B. King, we have the blues Saturday night starting at 7 here on XPN.
For the most up-to-date information on Penn Basketball, visit the official University of Pennsylvania Athletics website at pennathletics.com.
This is 88.5 WXPN Philadelphia, 88.7 WXPH Middletown, York and Lancaster, 90.5 WKHS Wharton, Baltimore, 99.7 Harrisburg, W285 DH North Whitehall Township, 88.5 Wyrock on HD2, and worldwide at xpn.org. Member-supported radio from the University of Pennsylvania.
At the Palestra alongside Vince Stern, Brian Seltzer, it is the 14-14 Columbia Lions being welcomed by the Penn Quakers at 11-18, 6-6 in the conference. At stake tonight, Vin Man for Penn. If they win, they clinch at least a share of third place. And if they were to go on and tame the Tigers on Tuesday, they would have it all to themselves.
Obviously, Penn still with something to play for, even though this is senior night in a league, in a year where you're not going to win the title. You still want to build towards next year. One of the things we talked about last night on the TV broadcast was it is important. These are games that, even though they may not affect the outcome in terms of a championship or getting an NIT bid or anything like that, Glenn Miller is now trying to put his stamp on the program. He wants to say, this is the way we play. This is what is expected of you. And obviously, he wants these guys to go out on a high note.
The starting lineup now for James Jones and the Columbia Lions. Pardon me, Joe Jones and the Columbia Lions. He's the one that I get along with.
That's the one. There's one difference in the one less button on Joe Jones's, on James Jones's suit than Joe. Joe shows up with five or six buttons. James only with four or five.
In the backcourt, Brent Espasso, a senior, along with Matt Montgomery, another senior, and Nico Scott, a sophomore. In the front court, a pair of outgoing members of the Columbia Lions as well, John Bauman and Ben Wachuku. For the Penn Quakers and Glenn Miller, in the front court, Andreas Schreiber at 6'9", 235 pounds, a sophomore forward from Canada, Sweden. He's joined by red and blue rookie Jack Eggleston at 6'8", 215 pounds, out of Noblesville, Indiana, another forward. Starting for the Penn Quakers, Michael Cass, who has been sidelined the last three games. He will be in limited action tonight. He's been battling chronic back problems as of late. Michael Cass is 6'4", 195 pounds, the senior guard from Carmel, New York, and also being joined by him. In the 40th contest of his Quaker career, he will start in the 73rd minute of his time at Penn. Joe Gill at 6'6", 180 pounds, the senior guard from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And, of course, Brian Grandary, the 6'4", 190-pound senior guard from Media, Pennsylvania, the leading scorer and rebounder for the Red and Blue. He has started all of the 30 contests he has appeared in 2007-2008.
Really dissecting those Joe Gill stats, huh, Southie?
Good man. I only get one chance to do it.
Crowd pop, you've been waiting for this day for 4 years.
Tipping it at the center, at the right side, the Palestra logo at the middle of the floor. It is the 6'9", Andreas Schreiber. Facing him on the opposite side is 6'9", Ben Wachuku. Penn and Columbia, third place at stake. As Ben Wachuku gets a little jitterish and knocks the ball free, and now we're ready. Here's the toss and the tip. It is taken by Penn in their road blue uniforms at home. Joe Gill operating the point from right to left for the Quakes.
And Columbia opening up in the man-to-man. Let's see if they try and get something for one of these seniors early.
Right side of the lane, Eggleston, the hook shot off the glass, won't get the bounce. Schreiber battling for the board, wrestling it free, and it goes to Mac Montgomery for Columbia.
Not a bad look for Jack Eggleston, the freshman saying, senior what? Senior who?
No. Top of the key, Brett Lascalzo swings it near side right on the wing to Montgomery. Makes his way to the right side of the lane on the right baseline with Chuku. Kick back out to Montgomery and an offensive foul committed by the always perplexing big Ben Wachuku.
Oh, goodness, the officiating from last night seems to have already rolled over into tonight's contest. If you're a Penn fan, you like the call. I didn't see a whole lot of contact. I didn't see a whole lot of action with that. And I really didn't see a whole lot of impact, which is, that's one that drives me crazy. If there's nothing affect the play, let the kids play it out.
Brian Grandieri pulls up left high post. It's an air ball. Catch collects underneath. He throws it right into the hands of Matt Montgomery. Montgomery slips into the lane, and he takes the travel from the defense for Penn. Ryan Grandieri.
Nice job also by Joe Gill rotating over as Montgomery gets past Grandieri. Joe Gill there. Joe Jones says, you know, maybe he got him with a little bit of the hip. And Joe Jones working the officials early.
Grandieri near sideline left. No score. A minute, 5 seconds in. Shriver steps back in an air ball as he tries to punch in two.
Phenomenal efficiency early by the Quakers. Two air balls in three possessions.
Top of the arc, Bauman buries it from deep as the 6'7 senior forward steps out and sends in a three.
That one, another guy you look at, you kind of try and figure him out. He's had a perplexing last couple of years, but he is first team last year, probably be right around that this year.
Catch to Grandieri on the right block, and a crime committed by Columbia that is going to be their second as a team, and it will go against Mac Montgomery. This is Columbia's final game. It's the final night in the Ivy League, with the exception of Penn and Princeton on Tuesday at Javelin. Here will inbound to Grandieri, full right baseline, and that barely nicks the rim as the Red and Blues struggling to find their stroke early on.
Progress for the Quakers, two air balls. Now we draw iron next time. Hopefully find the bottom of the net, Celtics.
Last night, in the final 4 minutes, Vince, a combined 40 points between Penn and Cornell. It was a great finish.
It was a phenomenal finish, and if you're a Penn fan, which I know we all are, he kind of wished that game would have gone on for about another 45 seconds.
Montgomery can't connect on the three from the near right wing. Gill guides it back the other way. Shriver top left. Joe far sideline right. A trio of Quaker seniors in the backcourt. Grandieri hounded by Montgomery from behind. And that was the last to knock it on the net.
I'm Joe Gill at this point.
Why don't I work that?
I got to bench you.
A very good point. He actually talked about being more aggressive this year. In the interview at the half, Grandieri in the far right corner, set off by Columbia's D, near sideline left Gill, 17 to shoot, and away from the play, it'll be an offensive crime committed by Quaker freshman forward Jack Eggleston.
Jack Eggleston picking one up right there, and Justin Riley coming off the bench for Andreas Schreiber. Like Andreas Schreiber actually also could have picked one up on a screen. The Sixers are looking for that early. Penn bigs need to be cognizant of that.
3-0, Columbia leading Penn. 17:30 to go in the first half. Bauman hands off to Montgomery at the near right point. Top of the arc, Scott stops on a dime. Lestalzo lets fly far left, and he gets the bounce to bottom home from beyond the arc, and it's 6-0, Columbia.
Not supposed to happen for visiting players, so you don't get that kind of roll here at the Palestra unless you're wearing the red and blue.
At the right high post, now top of the arc, Riley, near sideline left catch, cuts through the key, lost the ball. That was last tapped by Nico Scott for Columbia. Michael Cash last night after the game telling me that doesn't really expect to see more than 3 to 4, possibly 5 minutes, unless his back calms down a little bit. Same injury Steve Danley had towards the end of last year. Brian Grandieri off the mark as he tried to go for the angle shot. The red and blue remain scoreless.
Going for the bank shot and is able to get the glass, but no part of the rim, so the Quakers really struggling offensively here early.
Wachuku's hook shot, a ride to the left, the rebound to Eggleston as Penn pushes tempo the other way, seeking an offensive spark.
That's another shot that just misses by a couple of feet. He missed by 50%. He's 4 feet away and misses by 2 feet.
Gill to Cash thinking three, Michael, top of the arch to Riley, to Joe Gill at the near left point. Eggleston, top of the arc, rolls it to Riley in the lane, and it is a kickball as touched by John Bauman and Tyler Bernardini, and Harrison Gaines come in for Michael Katz and Joe Gill.
They got a nice hand coming off the floor. Glenn Miller giving the two seniors a little bit of run, but looks up with 3 minutes and 30 seconds gone in this game and sees 0 points on the board. You know, I better get Bernardini and Gaines in there, see if we can get something going.
Tyler Bernardini with 25 points last night. Harrison Gaines tied his personal best with 19.
Riley rumbles to the rack, lost the ball, five on the shot clock, top of the arc games, 4-3, pulls up, 4-3, good for the Penn freshman. He punches it in from the perimeter, and that cuts the deficit in half. It's 6-3, Columbia, 4 minutes into the game.
That's an encouraging sign for Penn fan Harrison Gaines, an inconsistent three-point shooter throughout his freshman year, something he'll need to work on over the summer, but if he can add that to the repertoire, he's going to be dangerous.
Scrolling on the floor, Bernardini tied up with Nico Scott at the center circle, and the jump ball is forced, and the possession arrow pointing to Columbia. 15:52 remaining in the first half. Timeout on the floor. The score: Columbia on top of the plate, 6-3. You're listening to Penn Basketball on 88.5 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Is it the fun world? Is it the fun world? Is it the fun world? Can you become girls? You're in the fun world.
Chili supports Penn Basketball on ESPN. Chili's restaurant is located at 38th and Chestnut Streets and is open for lunch and dinner. Chili's restaurant, located in University City. Business support of WXPN benefits both XPN and your business. Did you know that over 80% of public radio listeners tell us that your company's support of their favorite radio station has a direct and positive influence on their buying habits and decisions? Find out how your business can benefit by supporting WXPN. Go to xpn.org and click on Business Support.
You're listening to University of Pennsylvania Basketball on 88.5 XPN in Philadelphia.
With the dulcet tones of Bob Bombera coming out over the airwaves?
Absolutely.
Of course. How come he doesn't call me back anymore is what I want to know.
You know, that's a conversation I may need to come up with him. I think I'm going to have to.
The Bomber or...
Studio coordinator extraordinaire and co-host of the morning show with Mikhail Majun, which you can hear every weekday morning on 88.5 XPN, 15:52 to go in the first half, 6-3, Columbia on top of Penn. And Vince, your impressions of this senior class on senior night, we saw Mike Cash and Joe go out there around 3 minutes and 25 seconds, and Glenn took him out. Need a little offensive spark, but he did make the correct gesture in getting them out there.
Absolutely. I think in a season, if it were coming down to, hey, you got to win the Ivies, you win this game to win the Ivies or something like that, maybe you change that up. But in a season where it is decided that you are not going to be, you need to honor those guys with putting them out there to start. They work so hard in practice. They work so hard. They are the guys that kind of are the fabric of your team, and give them some personality. And I think that they have been, as I said, a very nice group for the Quaker community.
Jack Eggleston picking up his second personal foul very quickly.
Jack is not now on his face.
He's got a pinky card on him. Now after that is where it went to
and Jack.
Montgomery at the foul line, the flick of the right hand, and he gets it to fall. That makes it 8-3, Columbia by 5. Jack Eggleston found out last night. And he had 7 rebounds against Cornell, which was one shy of a career best. Bernardini pulls the trigger, and there's the triple. And the Quakers have cut it to 2. Colin Bernardini getting warm.
Bernardini was hot down the stretch last night, helping the Quakers get back in that. And you can see he's catching in rhythm and just letting fly that time, coming off the down screen.
8-6, the Lions leading Penn. Tyler had 2 3-pointers. Klein committed away from the play in the key, and that one is going against Columbia and Brent Lestalzo. But Tyler Bernardini with 18 seconds to go. 2 3-pointers.
This was good last night. Continuing it tonight. They get Brent Lestalzo trying to screen Andreas Schreiber. So you see Columbia trying to go to Ben Wachuku on the low block that time. Lestalzo gets a little bit too frisky down there with that screen.
Penn with a 2-point field goal tie. Schreiber wants the lead, and he can't get it. It bounces off the back of the iron. It's a nice look. Here's a feedback the other way. Matt Montgomery tries to hop a hold, and he swings it far side through the hands of Bauman. Scott recovers and throws it to Schreiber. Schreiber in the lane. Up he goes. He lays it in to knot it at 8 with 14:33 to go in the first.
Nice job by Andreas Schreiber to just take the sure thing right there. Sometimes you go up and try and get that dunk. You get a little out of whack. He just takes his time and gets the layup.
And there's a pass picked off by Justin Riley. Gaines across the timeline far right. He just fakes out Nico Scott as Schreiber top of the key. Schreiber to Bernardini above the arc, center of the floor.
Riley at the near left point.
Penn seeking its first lead of this contest. 8-0. James on the far right baseline to Grandieri. Far right point, 14 to shoot. Riley kick out to Dre. Straddles the arc near side left. Count the shot clock. Grandieri gassing right side. Pulls it up and the senior can't get a pair with the left-handed attempt.
Gets to about 10 feet and a little lefty jump hook right there. Shot we've seen a lot over the years from Brian Grandieri. Unfortunately, Graham just rolls out.
Scott has Ochuco on the right block, pounds his way inside, gets the foul to finish.
And Justin Riley has given Andreas Schreiber an earful. And he says, don't switch. That's what he's trying to tell him, Justin Riley.
Set right there. Coach Miller was imploring him to set the screen back on the offensive end on his way down the floor.
Imploring who?
Schreiber.
Schreiber?
Yeah. Ochuco at the stripe, and he completes the three-point play. He has 3 points. Last night he tied his season low 4 minutes at Princeton. In that time he had just 2 personal fouls, no points, no boards. He is enigmatic.
This whole Columbia team is enigmatic. I think you could fall down and get up with the ball like Harrison Gaines did right there.
Gaines nearly lost the ball again on the near left wing. 11-8, Columbia by 3. Riley far sideline right to Grandieri on the far right baseline. 10 on the shot clock. Good running defense by Mac Montgomery, but Brian Bateson is committing his second personal foul.
Mac Montgomery could have easily been called for a foul coming over the top on Brian Grandier, trying to tap it away in the low block. Ryan regains his composure and then forces Montgomery into foul number 2.
Cameron Lewis, who logged 9 minutes last night.
About the dunk by Cam last night.
Outstanding.
Unbelievable.
James inbounds to Bernardini. Hoist for 3. Can't hit for the tie. Long rebound recorded by Kevin Bolger, who also just checked in with K.J. Matsui, who was a Quaker killer back in February.
K.J. Matsui kept coming off that high ball screen, or dribble handoff, I should say. Just getting it and shooting it. Hopefully Glenn Miller will have made an adjustment. They're going to call a calming violation on Harrison Gaines. What do you think about that one, Brian? Didn't see it? I'll tell you. No doubt about it.
The Red Wing rookie commits the turnover. Last night, Harrison gained 6 assists to just 1 turnover. 4 games. He had 19 points. 9 of them coming from the foul line.
That type of game really fits well into Harrison Gaines' repertoire. He likes getting into and he likes going up and down, making plays. Now they're going to call John Bauman. Getting the elbows up a little high on Justin Riley. I said earlier today, it's one of those, what they say in hockey, the sticks are up.
Well,
you know me, I'm a real hockey guy. This time John Bauman had the elbows up a little high. And they accused him of getting Justin Riley right in the grill.
5 team fouls against the Lions. 4, I believe, on the offensive side. Kevin Iggy onto the court for the Quakers. Gaines, far sideline, right on the wing. James stops, hounded by Lascalzo, top of the key, Riley, and Riley throws it right to K.J. Matsui. Columbia comes back the other direction.
Justin Riley really didn't have a chance right there. He tries to throw a backhanded chest pass through traffic.
Lascalzo can't lock in for the triple in the near right corner. Offensive board to Bolger, and now Lascalzo resets. Columbia cold from the perimeter so far. They've tried several attempts. Bauman draws the bump on Cam Lewis. No bucket.
Really got a good look, though, at that play. John Bauman has the ball on the wing, passes and dives through. Cam Lewis trailing him the whole way, and by the time Bauman gets there, Cam a little out of position, and Bauman gets a chance to go to the free throw line.
Fourth team foul against Penn. 11:58 to go in the first timeout. On the floor, the score, Columbia edging Penn, 11-8. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 XPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Chili's Restaurant is located at 38th and Chestnut Street and is open for lunch and dinner. Chili's Restaurant, located in University City.
Our next Great Noon concert is this Friday, March 14th. From our World Cafe Performance Studio, 88.5 XPN, and Amtrak Music presents an intimate session with Patty Lawson. XCM favorite Patty Larkin is on tour supporting her latest album, Watch the Sky. She plays World Cafe Live this Friday night. She'll be here this Friday, March 14th, for a free at noon. This free at noon session is already sold out. It's limited space due to scheduling needs. But you can hear it on your radio or at xpn.org. Support for the XPN free at noon concert series provided by Comcast and XPN members.
11 minutes and 58 seconds to go in the opening stanza on senior night at the Palestra. The 10 Quakers trailing Columbia. 11-8 is the score. A lot on the line for the Lions tonight. Not only are they trying to secure third place in the conference, but also trying for their first back-to-back winning season since 77-79 as Bauman gets the first free throw to fall. He now has 4 points. And also trying for the first winning Ivy League campaign since 1993 when they went 10-4 in the H-8. Bauman knocks down number two.
Buck Jenkins on that 93 team.
Look at that.
He was co-player of the year with Jerome Allen that year.
13-8 is the score. Lions by five. Far sideline right. Bernardini entry pass. So Lewis patiently waits and produces a pair.
Good patience is right, Brian. Cam Lewis high side and a good entry pass by Tyler Bernardini. Allows Cam Lewis to drop the deuce.
Bauman lost the ball. Kick out to Matsui at the near right point. Back to Bauman on the right block. The hook shot is short. Collecting the carom is Cam Lewis.
Good job by Cam Lewis. Pushing Bauman off and playing a little lower body defense. Not allowing Bauman to get all that strength that he needs on that shot.
The shot attempt by Lewis. He was seeking contact. Didn't get the call. And the free ball goes to Kashif Sweet for Columbia. He drifts off far left with Gaines guarding him. Top of the arc, Bauman, back to Kashif. Joe Jones calling out orders, signaling the offense at the foul line. Bauman runs over Lewis, and that frees him up for an easy two.
I got to be honest with you, I kind of like that no call right there. Cam was going down a little bit. He kind of got there at the same time as Bauman did. Too many times you see teams that are just trying to bait the officials into a charge call.
15-10, Penn behind the light blue. 10:30 to go in this first half. Iggy spots up for three. Near left hit from the outside. And makes it a two-point tilt in favor of the Lions, 15-13.
Devin Iggy doing a nice job with the high screen right there. Gets John Bauman matched up on him. Feels like Bauman can't close out quickly enough. He's right. Gets the three.
Bauman stripped from behind. Rejected by Riley. Then off the shoulder blade of John Bauman, who does not agree.
Good recovery defense by Justin Riley. Gets beat to the basket. Beaten, I should say, to the basket. But is able to recover and get the block. And I think it is the right call. Actually off John Bauman. Out of bounds. And Connor Turley enters the game for the aforementioned Justin Riley.
Connor Turley, his first appearance in the last four games. He did not play last weekend. Didn't see action last night.
That drop aforementioned on these Ivy League broadcasts.
Yeah,
I don't mess around with them in some of these other ones.
Iggy matched up with Wachuku. Top of the arc, Turley for the lead. Off the iron, no. And leaping up for the rebound is Kashif Sweet.
Still a good look, though, for Connor Turley. You know, just off the bench, maybe you think, hey, hold on a little bit and not take the first one to present itself. But he gets a good look.
Here comes Ascenso Ampin. Denied. Gains back the other way and now bats it out to the far right point. A field goal for two ties it for 10. A three gives him the lead. Gaines top of the arc, nearly a screen from Cam Lewis. Matsui stays with him. Gaines to Turley, charges up the left side, but in the bucket as Turley ties it at 15. And now a chance for Penn to jump in front as Connor Turley heads to the line.
I know Connor Turley gets the layup and the foul opportunity right there, but sometimes you make things more difficult than they need to be. As Connor Turley gets the ball, he is wide open from about 12 feet. Take the jump shot. Take the little bank shot right there. It's a shot he should be able to make. We've seen him make it before. And this time it works out. He gets the layup and the bucket. But sometimes you take the easy one rather than taking the hard one and creating more of a difficult shot.
Turner calmly connects to complete the three-point play and put Penn in front 16-15. Wachuku out of control, walks. And Penn regains the ball.
I missed your alliteration. Connor calmly connects. You just couldn't wait.
Nothing, man.
I can see a little smile on your face. A little beam in your eye.
Tyler Bernardini is relieved by Brian Granieri. Kevin Icky sporting a Band-Aid beneath his right eyelid.
See, Derek Chivas looking right. Derek Chivas from Missouri back in the day used to wear one for no reason.
Kev does have a reason. He did get sliced open with a minute to go. Gains the right-handed runner. Can't get the roll. Three underneath. Under the bucket, it's Bolger standing strong. The other way, Ampen flings it far side to Matsui. Fires for three. Around the rim and out. Cam Lewis with the rebound. 50% of Matsui's made field goals from the outside. Kevin Icky can't catch up with the pass from Harrison Gaines at the top of the arc.
Well, too much mustard on that one by Harrison Gaines. I think just trying to make a play. Kevin Icky, borderline open underneath. You never like to see a turnover, but that's one where he's just trying to get a good look for a teammate. That one doesn't drive me too crazy.
16-15, Quakes in front by a point with 8.5 to go in the first. Columbia with the ball from left to right. Bolger to Big Ben with Chukwu. Left block, the hook shot, too strong. Ampen pulls it down, and he can't get the lane attempt. Well, Chukwu follows. Iggy tries to wrestle it away, and a tough foul flies against the undersized Kevin Iggy battling on the block.
Senso Ampen, you look at him, 6'6", 240, you're thinking, my gosh, what is this kid, a physical specimen like that, doing at Columbia? And then you see him shoot that layup right there, you go, yep, that's why he's at Columbia.
Well, Vince, it reminds me of the fellow who was at the foul line right now, what people were saying about 2 years ago, as Ben was 2-2, nets that free throw, and he now has 5 points. Ben, as a sophomore, averaged 10.5 points. Last year as a junior, disappointing at 8.8 points per game. This year, just 6.6.
That's not the way progression is supposed to go. Dick Vitale talks about guys that are on the all-airport team. We have some guys out there. The phrase that we always used to use is, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. You guys that need to get a little bit more out of their physical attributes and abilities.
But Wachuku did have two free throws to put Columbia in front. Iggy hits another three at the near left point, and now the Quakers regain the edge at 19-17. Kevin Iggy with six all from the outside. Wachuku in traffic, tacked on two. Ben Wachuku active early. That seems to be the key for him if he can find his comfort zone early on, tied up at 19.
You think Joe Jones would say, where has this been for the last 2 years?
You know, I say that for the last game of your Columbia career.
Grandieri to Cam, right block, Wachuku blocking him, switches hands to the left, and it rattles out, rebound to Wachuku. Cam with a little nifty low post move right there. He's just switching hands, going up with the left. A little ball handling.
Kashif Sweet swivels inside, reversing right to left, and he deposits the deuce. His first points, and Columbia has racked up the last four to take a 21-19 lead.
You think the Quaker fans are a little tired after last night?
Yeah.
The energy last night was off the charts. And tonight, you know, the team and the Quaker fans just a little lackluster.
Cam Lewis can't get it to go on the right block, and it's the double team. Bolger, the right-handed runner, ricochets out, rebound to Granieri. Last night, Vince, 13 lead changes and 11 ties. Bernardini, 3-for-3, far right, off the iron. Kevin Iggy crashes for the offensive rebound, stripped by Matsui, and Bolger crashed it down to the near corner.
Hey, Bernardini gets a good look. I thought Kevin Iggy was going to have a little stick back right there, but Matsui sneaks up behind him, knocks it away.
2 points in favor of the visiting Columbia Lions, 21-19, 6:20 to go in the opening stanza. A central anthem, far sideline left to Sweet, 13 to shoot, and Big Ben, the bell tolls on him again.
I think it's going to be Cam Lewis. Nice dry selfie. I know you were just trying to, did you write that one last night, or you just saving that for up there?
No, it just came to me.
Big Ben, the bell tolls on him again.
It looked by his reaction.
So nice I had to say it twice.
And a little rhythm and rhyme for the Big Ben. 6:16 to go in the first half. Timeout on the floor. The score, Columbia leading 10-2, 21-19. This is Quaker basketball on 88.5 XPN. It's the Penn Sports Network.
Eco Energy supports Penn Basketball on XPN. Eco Energy delivers electricity to 1.5 million customers and natural gas to 430,000 customers in southeastern Pennsylvania. Pico Energy.
Our next Fayette Noon concert is this Friday, March 14th, from our World Cafe Performance Studio, 88.5 XPN, and Amcare Music presents an intimate session with Patty Lawson. XPM favorite Patty Larkin is on tour supporting her latest album, Watch the Sky. She plays World Cafe Live this Friday night. She'll be here this Friday, March 14th, for Free at Noon. This Free at Noon session is already sold out. It's limited space due to scheduling needs, but you can hear it on your radio or at xpn.org. Support for the XPM Free at Noon concert series provided by Comcast and XPM members.
Yes. 6 minutes and 16 seconds to go in the first. Penn trailing Columbia by two. 21-19 is the score on the floor for Penn. Kevin Inge, Tyler Bernardini, Connor Turley, Andrea Shriver returns. All that joined by the senior captain, Brian Grandieri, on the evening. And the honor for him, Michael Cash and Joe Gill, those two got the start. And went to the bench after about 3.5 minutes. Columbia with the ball. Folger lost his footing, slipped on the floor near right wing, and has Matsui just to the right of the Pleasure logo.
A curly Neal job right there. A Globetrotter move, slides along, keeping the dribble alive.
Bulger at the near right point, pushing his way to the foul line, and with the left hand, lays it in for two. His first deposit of the night, and it's 23-19. Columbia has stroked the last six. Connor Turley, sandwich, hands off to Grandieri at the foul line, who's had his own problems getting the ball in the bucket tonight. Tyler Bernardini, Shriver, right side of the lane, an offensive charge against Andreas Shriver.
Andreas last night took a charge like that where he gave up the body and absorbed the blow. And that time, John Bauman, not afraid to let Andreas put that big shoulder right into his chest. A pretty easy call for the officials.
For Dre is first and the seventh against the Quakers, so should the next crime be committed on the defensive end. 1-1 for the Lions. Top of the arc, Matsui, thinking three, igniting far side, and there's an offensive charge against Columbia. And K.J. Matsui
starts, though, with Brian Grandieri not allowing Matsui to come off catch and shoot like he did so often up in Morningside Heights. Grandieri presses up on him. Matsui's reaction is to dribble drive by, and Connor Turley does the same thing John Bauman does on the other end. It sacrifices the body and takes one for the team.
Joe Jones has had a really interesting reaction on the sideline. He was encouraging K.J. Matsui, liking the physical nature of his play. Bernardini bumped around by Nico Scott, far side. Turley to Grandieri for three. Off the back of the iron, no. Shriver keeps the eyes, tips it to Iggy. This is wide to left. Shriver collects. He's stripped by Sweet on the near left baseline. Out of bounds. Off the line.
Brian Grandier is struggling to get it done early, 0 for 5 so far. Gets a pretty good look right there. It's a little long.
He's in inbound. Bernardini in the near left corner on the double team. Underhands to Dre, who nearly lost it. He throws it all the way into the backcourt. And the Quakers cross it up.
It's another one of those basketball IQ plays that on your offensive end, they never save the ball underneath your defensive basket. On your offensive end, you throw it all the way in the backcourt. It's an automatic backcourt violation. You have no chance to make a play right there. You can throw it to the near corner. That's what a lot of people say to do, is throw it to the closest corner and try to come up with, throw it under the basket, give your team a chance to pick something up. Throwing it long into the backcourt gives you no chance for anything good to happen.
Shriver back on the bench. Riley relieves him with Chukwu over Turley for the Deuce. Ben with Chukwu making an impact on the block. 25-19. The last eight belong to the light blue. Turley to Grandieri, far sideways for three. Iggy, count it again for Kev. Nine, all netted from the outside. And it's 25-22, Columbia.
Kevin Iggy, big off the bench for Glenn Miller. 9 of 10, 22.
Down the near right baseline, can't bury the jump shot. And Kevin doing his duty defensively, delivering the rebound. Top of the arc, Grandieri, 10 trailing by three. Bryan to the rack, he's roughed up. And there's going to be a crime committed by Columbia. Coach Miller said, Coach Miller said before the game in the interview I did with him last night that Harrison got the start,
if you like the way he matched up this point out, you know, once the move, it doesn't seem like it's a demotion by any means for Kevin Higby as a starting a short guard for not as a previous game.
I talked to Brandon before the game, and he said, hey, Harrison's going to go. I said, makes sense. How great did Harrison game play up at Cornell? The type of game favors his skill set, and as a coach, you make those kind of adjustments. I have no problem with the move, and I agree with you. It was not a demotion for Kevin as much as a trying to take advantage of the matchup and the style of play that he anticipated facing.
Brian Grandieri goes 1-for-2 from the line on that trip and has trimmed the deficit to reduce 25-23. Bulger top of the arc for the line. 3:47 to go in this first half, and a kick-a-tack foul against the Quick. And that one is going against Connor Turley, the eighth team foul flagged against Penn.
And Nico's shot will be going to the line for a 1-and-1.
3:46 to play in the first timeout on the floor. The score, Columbia on top of Penn, 25-23. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 XPF. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Penn Basketball on ATM. Bank of America offers convenient banking and ATM locations throughout the Philadelphia region. For a listing of the branches nearest you, log on to bankofamerica.com.
Hi, I'm Johnny Meister, and every Saturday night, starting at 7, I play the blues for you on XPN. The blues is the deepest root of America's popular music, and on the Blues Show, we've got blues from every decade from the 1920s to the present decade, whatever it's called. From town to country, solo to big band, Bessie Smith to B.B. King, we have the blues Saturday night, starting at 7, here on XPN.
3:46 left in the opening half, 25-23 Columbia. Columbia last night not playing as physical as they have shown so far this evening in a 75-64 loss at Princeton. What a break to the post. A season high 75 points and a season best 53.2 field goal shooting percentage against. They also allowed two guys by the names of Zach Woolridge and Kareem Maddox to combine for 29 points.
Zach Woolridge still on the team at Princeton?
I guess so.
Boggles the mind. I mean, as we said, this Columbia team is so enigmatic. They look like they should be better than they are. They look like they're more talented than they play. And never was that more evident than the Tigers putting a whooping on them last night. Lions and Tigers and Bears. Oh, my, Selfie.
Yes.
Oh, big man.
You have been missed.
Yes. Well, you come on. You don't want
yes,
to brought that game up.
Yeah. At the line, Ben Wachuca, the front end, is an awful miss to the left, but there's a big offensive rebound by Kevin Bulger.
Justin Morales just doesn't box Bulger out.
Wachuca, amidst the triple team, draws the foul.
Oh, an intentional foul.
He did.
He put the hands up
against Harrison Gaines.
I can't believe he just called an intentional foul.
The ninth against the Quakers, so now it'll be Ben Wachuca all by his lonesome.
I don't have the benefit of video tonight like I had last. I'm getting used to that. I don't see replays, Selfie.
Ben Wachuca
saying, Harrison, sorry, didn't make a play on the ball.
Ben Wachuca trying to tack on his 10th point. In double digits only 8 times prior to tonight, but if he hits that free throw, make it 9. And for a guy of his frame, this hasn't been able to make the use of his stature. Just to make it a 4-point contest in favor of Columbia, and he does.
It's not like there are 8 guys in the league that are matching up with him.
Yeah.
Inch for inch, pound for pound.
27-23, Columbia on top of 10 with 3:40 to go in the first, and because of the intentional foul, Light Blue has the ball. They're moving from left to right in their home whites on the back end of what is a road Ivy League weekend for them. Top of the arc, Nico Scott, far sideline left to Bulger. 23 to shoot for the Lions. In the key, it's Nico Scott, hands off to Wachuca left side of the lane, to a cutting Bulger on the right side, the runner off the back of the rim as Justin Riley goes up for the rebound. He's swatted at by Bulger.
Bulger frustrated that he's not able to make that little six-footer right there, goes over the top of Justin Riley. And now we're going to take the walk to the other end. Dustin Riley's going to get a 1-1. You know how I like to say, Celtic, when the games are going and going and going, and then they stop going. They dropped anchor.
Yes.
This one has had the anchor dropped about 10 minutes before tip-up, and neither team has pulled it up. There has not been a lot of pace. There has not been a lot of, as great as last night was, and the pace and the flow, and the teams just going right back and forth one another, and the energy, it's just the exact opposite of that tonight. This one's just a slog fest right now.
Riley gets the front end to go down and make it 27-24. This free throw try to make it a two-point game. The sophomore sends it on the way, and in the tin, Justin Riley with 2 points so far tonight. He had 7 and 4 rebounds in 24 minutes against Cornell. Just the sixth time this season that Riley has recorded 3 rebounds or more. Kevin Aguiar steps the pass underneath the bucket. Red and blue bolt back the other way, trying for the tie of the lead.
I think that pass intercepted him. Ben Wachuku just didn't finish his cut right there, and John Bauman giving it to him as he comes down the floor. A good job by Kevin Iggy being in the right spot.
Iggy, the foul on the finish. And he knocks it up at 27 apiece with 2:53 to go. And once again, the Quakers coming up with a crucial and one as an attempt to regain the lead.
All right there, Ben?
Yeah.
I hit the selfie fist pump. You almost knocked me over.
Well, Kevin Iggy getting that so far here in the first half. He has a game-high 11.
Kevin Iggy, an early candidate for our Smokey Joe's player of the game, Brian.
And he completes the three-point play to even out his box line at a dozen. 28-27 Penn. 2:50 to go in the first.
Oh, that's
a real point. Hands off to Bauman. Back to Brett in the near right alley. Lascalzo draws a double team, goes to Bauman. Near right corner. Horse for three off the rim. Blocking out for the rebound to Chuka when he follows for two.
Bauman can't get it going at all from the perimeter, but Big Ben exerting his will on the interior. And said it before, Joe Jones again said, where has this been?
The scoreboard now tipping in the favor of Columbia, 29-28. Tyler Bernardini, top of the key. To Turley, left side of the lane, one-on-one with Bauman. Turns right, turns left, back right. To cutting Gaines, under the hands of Gaines, and into the backcourt. And Riley has to touch up another backcourt violation by the Red and Blue.
The last time you saw two backcourt violations in the span of about 5 minutes.
A while, if ever.
I haven't seen anything like it. And how about last night? 2 4-point plays in the span of about 5 minutes. We're talking about that on TV. The old-fashioned 4-point play. You don't see it that often.
You knew Gore. He started off 0-for-4 from the outside. You knew he was going to start lighting it up if they kept letting him free. Columbia with the ball and a one-point lead. Matsui fires from way outside the top arc. Another offensive rebound at 2 points for Ben Wachuku.
And Glenn Miller had just taken Justin Riley out of the game, put Andreas Schreiber in, saying, rebound the basketball, don't let Wachuku get going. And what happens? Big Ben does it to Schreiber just the way he did to Justin Riley.
Columbia pads its lead to 3, 31-28, and a reach-in foul against Nico Scott, drawn by Tyler Bernardini.
Bernardini going to get 2 shots. Columbia in the double bonus. And a pretty good call by the officials. And a nice job by Tyler Bernardini putting the pressure on the Columbia defense. Attack. Back on their heels.
Tyler Bernardini shooting a 39.5% to the line this year. And that one bounces off the iron and off to the line.
How exciting will New York State have it last night as Mr. 95% leading the country in free throw shooting misses 2 in the final minute.
That was an intriguing development. With the game possibly on the line, Lewis Bell misses 2 free throws. Brian Grandieri will relieve Kevin Iggy, who goes to the bench.
Did you guys talk at all about the possibility of Whippet should miss that last free throw?
A little bit.
I thought he should have let it go. We were so surprised on TV that he missed the first one that we didn't get a chance to bring that up.
Tyler Bernardini trying to salvage this trip at the stripe. And make it a 2-point game. It's on the way for the right-handed rookie and good. 31-29, 95 seconds to go in this first half. Once again, against an Empire State enemy, a back-and-forth game. Right block, Bauman. Over Schreiber, blocked by Brian Grandieri. Brian saves it, and he goes to Schreiber. A little injection of energy as the red and blue run the other way. Kane dashing on the left side. They wave off the shot, and there is a foul committed by Columbia.
Great job by Harrison Gaines getting the ball end-to-end. after the block by Brian Grandier. It's something that Harrison does very well. He puts pressure on the opposing team's defense by getting the ball into the offensive end very quickly, and that time gets all the way to the basket.
Harrison has two shots. He's the first one to present a situation for the tie, and he has done just that. 4 points, four games so far. He started his first game last night since February 12th against Princeton, and he tied a career high with 19 points. As Gaines was getting the resist tonight at 31, Rattle, and it bottoms home. Even at 31 apiece with a minute 16 to go in the first. Kashif Sweet, near sideline right. Shriver switches off, leaves Bauman alone, and picks him right back up. Matsui at the far left point to Lascalzo.
Good defense by Bernardini, really making Lascalzo work, and a good hedge on the high screen by Connor Turley.
Kashif Sweet, far sideline, left, far left baseline. Bauman over, shoots, and it goes to Grandieri. He gobbles it up. And then a timeout is taken by Glenn Miller wisely with 48 and 9-tenths of a second left.
You know why he took a selfie? You got to use it.
Or lose it.
Yes.
Even at 31 apiece, as Penn, Vince, last night, they were down 10 points. 10 points with 44 seconds to go. And a team that got down on itself early a week ago when they were blown out by Brown, they kept fighting and fighting and fighting. Now they're just trying to piece it together back-to-back nights.
And, you know, when I think part of it, too, is style. Brown and Princeton were games where a guy like Harrison Gaines, he struggled in those games because of the style of play. But he plays very well in a game against Cornell, which is a little more up and down, a little more free-flowing. And last night, it reminded me of the St. Joe Xavier game, which was the night before, where all of a sudden, St. Joe's looks like they have it wrapped up, and Xavier shot. And if the game goes another 7 seconds, Xavier's going to come back same way last night. That last night's game goes another 5 or 6 seconds, we'd still be playing.
Penn with the ball moving from right to left is a rush of wind.
Water
into the Palestra. It's steamy inside here. Very mild day in the Philadelphia area. The mid-60s, rainstorms off and on. It's coming down pretty hard with the precipitation earlier today.
It could be Hurricane Schwartz all of a sudden. We switch you to a bow tie.
Penn with the ball, trying for the lead.
Hurricane Seltzer, Columbia 1-3-1 for the first time.
40 seconds to go in the first half. Bernardini can't bury it from beyond in the near left corner. There's a 2-second differential between the game and shot clock.
And in a 1-3-1, the corners and the top of the key extended are going to be what present themselves. Joe Jones taking his use it or lose it timeout, and that's exactly what happened right there. Tyler Bernardini gets a wide open look in the corner, just not able to knock it down.
1 4/10 of a second, the difference between the game and shot clock. 28 4/10 to play in the first, 27 to shoot for Columbia. Columbia has lost two Ivy League games in a row after they had won 7 of their previous 9 in the conference after they got off to their third straight 1-3 Ivy League start, the long year for that type of beginning for the Light Blues. They returned their entire club.
I mean, they get a 1-3 start, but you got to remember, two of those losses in the 1-3 start were to Cornell, who has run the tape. So
yep.
It's not like they were playing two Ivy road weekends or two Ivy home weekends or anything like that. They played their travel partner, and when your travel partner beats you twice, you could be in trouble.
Tough one, especially if they give you the 2 games consecutively against your travel partner at the start of the season, whereas Penn and Princeton, they spent the other schools don't do that because they can't.
Penn and Princeton are used to playing for the title number one. And
there's a steal by Bernardini. He picks it up ahead of Grandieri. He goes back and tries to get the ball, but he fouls it too.
Brian's first dunk is a Quaker.
Sweet and swatted at and fouled hard and route to the rack.
Simply to 33-31 with 4 8/10 of a second.
I wish we had video on that one.
Brian Grandier gets the steal. He's out all by himself. Excuse me, Bernardini gets the steal. Brian's out all by himself. Looks like he's going to power it off 2 feet. Lays it in and gives a little tug on the net. It's just coming down.
Sweet. Lays a brick off the back of the iron for the best, unless they get an offensive rebound, as they have been wont to do so far. Columbia can hope for is to make it a 1-point game going into the locker room, and you can see him clench his teeth down, squint his eyes, and try to get the lift
up off of four, but
2 points nonetheless,
and the lead for Penn. Sweet getting ready to send his second on the way, and that one is perfect. 33-32, 4 8/10 of a second left in the first. Gaines from Shriver across the timeline, 3-2. Gaines, the runner, off the rim, no. And the rebound ricochets far side before the Red and Blue can track it down.
Another good look, though, in a short clock situation. Harrison Gaines gets the ball end-to-end in a hurry. Columbia does a nice job. I think it was Mascalzo makes it. Gaines changed directions a couple of times. But a pretty good look at the end of the half.
33-32 is your tally at the intermission. The Penn Quakers in front of the Columbia Lions. The Senior Spotlight Series here on the Penn Sports Network, the Quaker Class of 2008 in their own words, continues as the United Healthcare Halftime Report gets underway. After this, we will hear from Joe Gill and his teammates, his classmates, Michael Katz and Brian Grandieri, all three of them discussing Joe's Quaker career. 33-32 is the score. Penn leading Columbia by a point. We'll step aside. Come right back here on 88.5 SPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
PECO Energy supports Penn basketball on SPN. PECO Energy delivers electricity to 1.5 million customers and natural gas to 430,000 customers in southeastern Pennsylvania. PECO Energy. For the most up-to-date information on Penn basketball, visit the official University of Pennsylvania Athletics website at pennathletics.com. The Quaker Halftime Report presented by United Healthcare. With audio highlights from the first 20 minutes, feature interviews, and a full stat recap, once again with Vince Curran, here's Brian Seltzer.
The Penn Quakers and Columbia Lions competing with a lot of grit so far through 20 minutes of play. It is in favor of the home team, the Red and Blue. 33-32 is the score as each squad regroups right now at intermission to try and figure out how to approach the final 20 minutes as each team vying for a third-place finish in the H&H standings. The Quakers could secure it with a victory tonight. Last night we heard about Michael Katz on the Penn Senior Spotlight Series in their own words, and tonight Joe Gill, and he is all about commitment and determination and loyalty to his program. You will hear he and also Michael Katz and Brian Grandieri describe the 4 years that Joe Gill has spent as a Penn Quaker right now as our Senior Spotlight Series. The Penn Seniors, in their own words, continues and resumes right here on the United Healthcare Halftime Report on the Penn Sports Network.
Joe Gill, tonight's focus of this three-part series on the Penn men's basketball seniors, in their own words. And Joe, almost a perfect season for you in terms of field goal shooting.
Yeah, that one's a little long to the right.
That one up in Dartmouth a few weeks back. But for those uninitiated with Joe Gill, a devoted member of this program for 4 years at a Germantown Academy, playing time not as regular as most, but typically one of the first to show at practice and one of the last to leave. His first career field goal came with a thunderous throwdown the second game of this campaign at Loyola Baltimore. And, Joe, that just looked like it had been building and building and building and building.
Yeah, you know, put a lot of work into it my whole career, and, you know, I got the perfect opportunity, so I thought I'd just go for it.
Mike and Brian, you've been a classmate of Joe's since he got in here. What were your reactions when he delivered the spine chiller supreme?
To be honest, you know, we were down about 52 points, and I didn't know what to do when it happened. It was pretty awesome. I thought he actually broke his leg after, but... It was pretty special. He went up and, you know, dunked on the kid. And, you know, the best part about the whole thing was, I think after the game, you know, we got, you know, yelled at for cheering for Joe. But it was definitely one of his highlights and one of our highlights this year. It is a pretty great dunk. And, you know, after sitting on the bench for, you know, 38 minutes unstretched to come out and put those lanky arms up and dunk was pretty cool.
Mike, in a game like that, you know, there's a little bright spot to send you home with.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not one to stand up and cheer for anybody when we're down by 30, but he deserved it. I mean, we said it right after the game. It's one of the better collegiate dunks I've seen live. And like Brian said, after they're not really playing the whole game and coming out there and being able to do that, it's a pretty athletic move. I think he proved a little bit of what he's all about. And you know, I was excited to see it.
Pure posterization, no doubt about that. Seriously, Joe, though, how important has it been for you in your final go-round to score when you have been given the opportunity this year at a very nice clip of 11 points in just 20 minutes this season? It must be pretty nice for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to go at it a different way this season. My team has still told me that I've been too passive when I get out there, so I thought my last time around maybe it would be a little more aggressive.
You're listening to the seniors of the Penn Men's Basketball Program, Brian Grandieri, Mike Katch, and Joe Gill, in their own words, as we focus on Joe in the second of his three-part series. And you were just talking about getting some advice from your fellow teammates about being more aggressive. Brian, how would you describe Joe's work ethic and the approach he's taken to his career?
You know, I actually had this conversation with my parents the other day, and it came up, you know, what he's done for 4 years is something that, you know, I'm extremely jealous of, and it's something that I probably couldn't do, but for a guy to stick with it, you know, not really given it, you know, a real opportunity to show what he's all about is pretty special. I think it takes a special kid to do what he's done. I think, you know, he can probably tell you that the best aspect of playing a sport is being with people that, you know, he enjoys being with. You know, every running drill, you know, every weightlifting thing, you know, he does as much as we do, and, you know, doesn't get nearly the credit that he does.
Mike, is there an instance that you can remember back upon that stands out to you that represents what Joe's all about?
I would say there wasn't an instance. I would say it's just, you know, the repetition every day, you know, bringing the same, he's the same type of player every day. He brings the same type of intensity, and he did it. I mean, obviously I wasn't here for the first 2 years, but I mean, I'm sure he's done that thing too. The last 2 years that I've played, he scored absolute intensity every day. You know, it's just, he's a huge role model for these younger guys. Especially some of them that aren't getting the playing time they might think, to show that, you know, it doesn't matter. You got to work hard every day, try to get yourself to become a better player.
Joe, where does that positive attitude, that commitment come from, do you think?
It 100% comes from my teammates. Earlier in the year, I remember a reporter goes to me, you know, it's been 4 years, you haven't really played that much. Did you ever think about quitting? And, you know, there's times where maybe coach is a little hard on you or practices are not fun at all, but literally the 15 guys in that locker room or like my teammates, they're like the inspiration for me to continue to do what I do.
Brian, is the captain, and having spent the three previous years with Joe, how vital is having someone as selfless as him on the team?
Extremely important. I think every good team has a guy like that. You know, every game, Joe's the first guy out of the locker room. You know, he's usually the most vocal guy. You know, whether it's grunting or, you know, yelling. But he always just does put his energy, and it does become contagious, and I think that's what really, you know, all good teams have. And, you know, Mike said it best. I don't think guys really appreciate, you know, how much time and sacrifice it takes to do what Joe does. You know, all these, you know, a lot of kids come in, you know, thinking that, you know, they should play, you know, for 4 years. And, you know, it really doesn't happen that often. And I think if guys, you know, learned a lot or, you know, something from Joe this year, the most selfless guy I've played with, and, you know, I think everyone should really, you know, take a page out of his book, and, you know, that's really what it's all about in the long run.
That's Brian Grandieri. Right now he's joined by Mike Katch, and they're talking about Joe Gill as his number 23 himself, who's the second of the Penn men's basketball team's three seniors we hear from in their own words. Our conversation continues on the other side. You're listening to the United Healthcare Halftime Report. You're on 88.5 XPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
United Healthcare supports Penn Basketball on XPN. United Healthcare serves more than 26 million individual consumers and provides high-quality care from more than 535,000 physicians and care professionals while partnering with over 4,700 hospitals. Details available at UHC.com.
This is 88.5 WXPN Philadelphia, 88.7 WXPH Middletown, York and Lancaster, 90.5 WKHS Wharton, Baltimore, 99.7 Harrisburg, W285DH North Whitehall Township, 88.5 YROC on HD2, and worldwide at xpn.org. Member-supported radio from the University of Pennsylvania.
Penn and Columbia at intermission here at the Palestra on senior night as the Quaker class of 2008 recognized before the game. One of them, Joe Gill, the focus tonight as we continue to hear from the Penn men's basketball team seniors in their own words. Joe, we've discussed your character over the past couple minutes. What do you carry with you going forward that you gained from your experience with the Quakes?
Definitely there's a huge mental side to basketball that people talk about, but I don't think they really understand it. You know, it takes a lot of mental toughness. It takes a lot of discipline to consistently do what you do at the same level each day. And that type of commitment that I've learned these 4 years, I would always keep with me.
Mike, how's Joe Gill on the Nintendo Wii Box?
Well, that's why we don't see him. He's always playing with me. He's confused right now. He enjoys his whatever he plays, his Mario Kart or whatever. But yeah, he plays a good Wii.
Tennis, Brian, you ever get him going in tennis?
You know, like when he first got it, we did have a couple rounds. You know, that was the first hour that he had it, and I think he's probably spent more time playing Wii than he has on much other things, but he does got a little game there.
Joe, aside from Mario Galaxy, what's going on after graduation?
Next year I'll be working in Philadelphia at a financial investment company, so pretty excited about that, and also excited to stay in Philadelphia, so I'll be around the Quakes a little bit more.
There you go. Yeah, how much does that mean to you? You were born in the suburbs, played your high school ball around here, college ball, sticking around with families close in the city.
Yeah, Philadelphia is basically where I've been my entire life, and people say, you know, you should branch out and, you know, get to know the world a little bit, but, you know, everything that I ever want in my life is here, so why leave it?
All right, Joe, go out and get it. It has been a pleasure.
I'll do my best.
Truly committed to this team in your four-year career. Joe Gill, the second of Penn's three seniors we hear about in their own words. Tuesday night during the break at Princeton, it is Brian Grandieri. The United Healthcare Halftime Report continues here on 88.5 XPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Comcast Sportsnet supports Penn Basketball on XPN and features highlights of the Quakers on Sports Night, as well as its Sports Rise, Sports Day, and Daily News Live program. For the latest sports news around the Delaware Valley, it's Comcast Sportsnet.
Hi, I'm Johnny Meister, and every Saturday night starting at 7, I play the blues for you on XPN. The blues is the deepest root of America's popular music, and on the Blues Show, we've got blues from every decade from the 1920s to the present decade, whatever it's called. From town to country, solo to big band, Bessie Smith to B.B. King, we have the blues Saturday night starting at 7 here on XPN.
Halftime winding down. That means the United Healthcare Halftime Report is as well alongside Vince Kern and our production assistants Brandon Bell and Sam Tidings. We're generous enough to bid on the opportunity to sit with us for this game.
We want to have these guys here because of their contributions to the Quaker program.
We don't
absolutely
want to
stand by their way here, Selfie. Are you kidding me? These guys are doing a great job over there.
They are. They pulled a little wire before the game to make sure that the box, the magic box right here that we connect the station with, is all set and ready to go.
The magic box is what we have here, yes.
I don't want to get too technical, you know.
Brandon and Sam can handle if they hook it up.
Third place, a possibility for Penn. If they win tonight, they will clinch it. They're 6-6 in the conference. At least they share a portion of third place. Columbia is at 7-6, and if they were to emerge the victor this evening, they would have third place all to themselves. 33-32 is the score at intermission. Vinman, when you take a look at the stat sheet, one guy doing a bulk of the scoring for the Lions, another one for the Quakes.
For both teams, Big Ben Wachuku getting it done for Columbia. 15 points on 5-7 from the floor, 5-6 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds. And he is the single-handedly kept Columbia in this game. For Penn, Kevin Higgy off the bench, 3-for-3 from three-point range, 4-for-5 overall, 12 points and 3 rebounds for Kev in 11 minutes. And if you want to look at a couple other areas, John Bauman, Darlene Macho Camacho, the sports information director at Columbia, points out that he is 2-for-9 at this point. So if Joe Jones wants to be successful in this game, his man, John Bauman, first team all live. You're going to need to pick it up. And for the Quakers, Brian Grandieri, only 1-for-6. But the one was a memorable one,
Brian. Indeed it was, Vin Man.
Worst dunk attempt ever is the paper that was passed down from Thorne Press Row.
the reports from over, the alumni game was played today, and the reports from over where all the players, former players are sitting is that that brought down the house. EG trying to rise up. I mean, he's got one leg that's 2 inches short. He's blown out his knee about 100 times. So, you know, you give him a couple little slack. But that is a quote not from me. Worst dunk attempt ever.
Well, I think it's the best worst dunk attempt ever.
Well, I guess the 2 points. You didn't fly it off the back iron. You didn't get blocked by the rim. He's smart enough to make sure he got it down.
It was a critical conversion for the Quakes as it gave them the lead, which they now have.
Now he's going to start cherry picking. He's going to try and get himself a dunk.
33-32 is the score as the horn is going to sound. And then halftime as the teams retake the floor. Columbia in their traditional home white uniforms, but on the road. They get to wear that on the back end of the Ivy League weekend. John Bannon, Ben Wichuku, Mac Montgomery.
On that side.
I know.
Nico, Scott, we can't wash uniforms on the road. Oh, no. Oh, we can't buy 2 sets. Every Ivy League school has about $1 billion endowment. You can't get 2 sets of uniforms?
I'm just curious how they managed for the 50 previous years before they started going to this system the last two. Penn with the ball, moving from left to right. Grand Erie, far sideline, left top of the arc to Harrison Gaines. Gaines eyed down by Lascalzo, a pushing foul away from the play. Very disruptive and frustrated. Nico Scott watches the rest of catch in. Personal foul number 3.
A tough third for Nico Scott, but no doubt about it. He comes in with elbows high into Andreas Schreiber. And he gets a little pep talk from Joe Jones as he's coming off the floor.
In the middle of the court, it's Harrison Gaines at the top of the arc. To Bernardini on the right side of the rack. To Schreiber, turning around. There's the range. It's short, and the bounce on the board goes to Bowman. Long feed the other end. Bounce at 6-3. Feeds it in the near left corner to Matt Montgomery. Montgomery, not a lot of time in that first half. Wachuku left block, turns around and hits the hook shot. He has 17.
Big Ben getting it deep again.
And that puts Columbia in the lead, 34-33, 45 seconds gone by in the first. Jack Eggleston, top of the arc, limited in the first half with a pair of personal Schreiber off the glass, going to the bank and passing in.
Talk about it all the time. You just want Andreas Schreiber to catch and shoot. Forget about catching and thinking.
Bauman tries for the triple, and he tacks on another one from the outside. And just when Penn had the lead right back, it is now in favor of Columbia, 37-35.
So our good friend Darlene Camacho says John Bauman has to pick it up. And the Columbia Sports Information Director right on cue.
Top of the key, Schreiber thought three. Pulled back has Bernardini on the far left wing. He swings at the Grand Erie near sideline right. 12 on the shot clock for the Quakers. Grand Erie at the far left point. Edelson rolls it to Bernardini, who was rolled onto the floor by Kevin Bulger. So Vin Van Columbia not helping themselves. Two quick early fouls to start off the second stanza.
And Bulger was just hanging on for dear life down there. So just enthusiastically wanting to get a sub in the game. He says, yep, Bulger, you're out. Matsui, you're in.
Bulger was the sub. He's great. He is great.
Judge said, you just took him and threw him down. What are you complaining about?
Bernardini off the glass. Good to tie it up at 37 on the far left wing with 18:23 to go in the second.
How many times have we said it this year, Selfie? Quaker's getting a great look on an end line out of bounds, and Tyler Bernardini that time open, and the bank was open, and he gets the deuce.
Matsui subs in for Kevin Bulger, who relieved Nico Scott, both Scott and Bulger with 3 personal fouls. Wachuku plows past Schreiber, and because of that, he is going to be charged for the offensive foul.
That's 2 on Big Ben Wachuku, and we're seeing a fair number of offensive fouls tonight, Kelsey. The guy's just out there trying to do something.
Penn, the best offensive rebounding team in the Ivy League, but they only had 4 in the first half to Columbia 6. Penn trying to take the lead. Any point will do. Schreiber at the foul line. Tied up at 37. Tyler fakes out Scott. Puts it up around the rim. No good. Wachuku rips it down off the glass. Lascalzo to Mac Montgomery. 3-for-3 in the near left corner. And he makes Penn pay.
And Joe Jones gives him a little smack on the backside as he goes up the floor. Joe didn't pound his chest and point at the fans up in the stands, but he was pretty enthusiastic right there. Quite animated.
Jack Eggleston, top of the arc, right high post to Andreas Schreiber, feeding in the lane to Bernardini, last touched underneath the rim,
by the light blue.
Andreas Schreiber needs to get a little more zip on that ball right there. It looked like Bernardini was open. Andreas throws it up softly, and Bauman able to recover.
Penn trailing by 3, 40-37. 17-18 to go in the second. Game's top of the arc. Eggleston near sideline right to Schreiber. Back to Jack. Great look. He's short. No contact underneath. Tyler strips it to the rim. Up he goes. Down he throws for the dunk. And Penn is pulled within one. 40-39.
Tyler Bernardini looked ahead at Brian Grandier and said, well, I saw what you tried to dunk in the first. Let me do this to myself.
Sons of the key, Max Montgomery.
Maybe the boss laughs again.
Oh, it's a funny one, Bob.
And there's the foul by Andreas Schreiber on the near left block.
And for Dre, that's his third personal foul and Penn's first here in the second half.
Where has this been from Ben Wachuku? He actually looks like he can play tonight. Every other time we see him play, it looks like he'd rather not.
Bauman draws the foul as he blasted his way towards the bucket off the inbound pass. And that is going to go against Jack, his third. So Penn's forwards for the second straight night. They're in a little bit of foul trouble. Bauman has two shots coming at the line. A 75% free throw shooter on the season.
Jack Eggleston, I like to say, extremely efficient with those fouls. Picked up three in just over 5 minutes.
Bauman hits his first to make it 41-39 with 16:49 to go. Some quick scores. Yale leading Harvard 54-40 with 12:37 to go in the second half. As Bauman can't connect on his second, to Karen to Jack Eggleston, who's staying in there with three personals. Brown on top of Dartmouth 4 minutes into the second half by seven. And it is Cornell leading Princeton by three, 30-27, 2 minutes 50 seconds to go in the first. At the foul line, Shriver hands off to Grandieri with 16 to shoot. The Quakers down by a deuce. Top of the key, Bernardini, 10 on the shot clock. Tyler starts left, back to the far left wing now to Gaines with 8 on the shot clock. Harrison in the key, the right-hand runner, rattles off, rebound underneath to Wachuku as Bernardini dives for it, but he was the last to touch it out of bounds on the far left baseline.
A pretty good hustle, though, by Tyler Bernardini, fighting for that offensive rebound. One of the areas he probably will look to improve upon heading into next year is how well he rebounds the ball. Nice to see him fighting there on the offensive end for one.
At the far right point, it is the aforementioned John Bauman. Hands off to Matt Montgomery. Thank you. I take my cue from you, good man. Well, Scalzo fires the three and flushes from beyond on the near left wing to make it 44-39.
I think anybody that hits a three-point in front of the Columbia bench gets a spanking from Joe Jones. He's getting everybody.
Well, Scalzo with 9 points all from the outside. Shriver, far side left, away from the play, a holding call, and it's going to go against Columbia's Mac Montgomery. That is the fifth team foul against Columbia. Pardon me, the fourth for Columbia here in the second, and the third for Montgomery. 15:43 to go in regulation. Timeout on the floor. The score, Columbia by five with him, 44-39. You listen to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 XPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Independence Blue Cross supports Penn Basketball on XPN and for over 60 years has offered healthcare products and services designed to meet the changing healthcare needs of its customers. In Philadelphia, IBX provides health insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information, it's IBX.com.
Hi, this is head coach Glenn Miller, and you're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 FPM, the Penn Sports Network.
Do you know who I am?
No, I can't say that I do.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Really?
People know me.
I'm very happy for you.
The Bomber getting active on his final night behind the board at our 88.5 XPM Broadcast Center.
People know me. They know you, Celtic.
No.
You are all the man about town.
I know not of what you speak, Clint.
Oh, please.
Me as a man about town, you have been on television or a broadcast of some sort.
What is it, six nights running? What game have you not been to this past week?
Let's see, I did Wednesday. I did the Duquesne Temple game. Thursday, Daily News Live. Friday, here last night. Christiane ain't doing our game. And then today, a doubleheader. Temple LaSalle, and then Columbia and the Quakes. Bernardini can't hit off the inbounds pass, free underneath, and it's off Andreas Schreiber. It goes back to Columbia, and right now, Vince the Quaker is trailing by 5 points, 44-39, 15-38 to go in the second half. Columbia's largest lead was 6 points in the first, 2 minutes and 36 seconds in, so some tenuous territory right here.
I like, though, the way Penn's playing right now, a little effort, a lot of intensity.
Out of bounds off Tyler Bernardini as he tried to run away from Nico Scott.
Almost picked up a tee right there, giving the official in front of us a hard time.
Inbounding, Nico Scott.
Got our man behind us going crazy again. I got to find out who that is.
Xavier KJ Matsui. Columbia with the ball on the left block. A push-off foul against Andreas Schreiber, and that is his fourth.
And that's four on Andreas, three on Jack Eggleston. So the fouls are adding up.
Mike Martin just said to Glenn Norrie, you want to get him out of here?
Nah, what are you talking about at this point? Let's leave him out there. Everybody's picking him up.
It's a third team foul in this second stanza against the Penn Quakers. Columbia has four. Brett Lascalzo inbounds on the near left baseline, a lob out to John Bauman, top of the arc to Nico Scott. And away from the play, and Andreas Schreiber is done.
He's done.
Wow.
Oh, no, they called on Kevin Higgy.
Yes, we'll go against Kevin Higgy. That is the first for Kevin. Pardon me, the second for Kevin. And the fourth for the red and blue as Andreas Schreiber takes a seat. Lascalzo now inbounds on the far right baseline. Nowhere to go. He has Matsui, who thought about three. Goes to the foul line. Slip. Recovers to Lascalzo. Scott shoots a gap on the left side. Short. Turley can't tickle it in. But Higgy tracks it down on the far wing. Comes back with a head of steam at the top of the arc. Kevin Higgy with 12 points in the first half to pace Penn. Turley nowhere to go under the arc on the near right wing on the right block. Grandiose. Back and in with the left hand. Too strong. Tyler keeps it alive through the hands of Turley. Back to Bernardini. He is stripped, swatted. The foul going against Columbia.
Tyler Bernardini getting the benefit of the foul call from the official who was 25 feet away. The official who was 2 feet away did not blow the whistle.
K.J. Matsui, his third personal foul. So for the Lions, it's Nico Scott along with Kevin Bolger off the bench and K.J. Matsui, a reserve as well, all with three personal fouls. Bernardini at the stride, that is first one falls. Tyler Bernardini, Vince, has really had to labor tonight for his 9 points. Brian Grandieri still without a field goal. He came into this evening's game.
Stop. Brian Grandieri had that thunderous dunk that he threw down in the first half.
Good note, as Bernardini buries his second one. He has 10 on the evening, and the Quakers trail by three, 44-41, with 14:40 left in the second. At the near left point, Nico Scott, top of the arc to Ascenso Ampin, to Lascalzo, near sideline left. Top of the arc, Bolger, back to Brett Lascalzo. Lascalzo stops near left baseline, shut off by Higgy.
Bauman and Jack Eggleston are battling it out on the low block. Bauman works awfully hard, and Columbia doesn't even look at him.
Bolger hops the hole, gets the foul, can't finish it off. That one will be flagged against Connor Turley. It's his second.
Bolger does a nice job with the left hand attacking the middle. Nobody makes him change directions. He says, you know what? I'll take it all the way.
Bolger had 2 points in the first half, 4 and 2 in 30 minutes. At Princeton last night in his third game of the season with 30 minutes or more as he hits number one from the strike to make it 45-41 with 14-19 remaining in regulation. The second one on the way for Bolger, and he delivers. 46-41, Lions as they reestablish that five-point cushion. Red and blue seeking a response. Higgy feeds it to Bernardini on the right side of the lane. Kick out Kevin. Hoyts for three. Hits! Kevin Higgy has tied a career high of 15 points and also 4 3-point field goals. It's a 2-point tilt, Columbia in front, 46-44.
Joe Jones looking down his bench for somebody to come out and actually just guard Kevin Higgy. Kevin gets another open look and able to knock it down.
Bauman to Scott in the near left corner, looking to cross over, back to Bauman, top of the key, Bolger, Bauman, right block, runs over Eggleston, no call, too strong, he takes it away from Charlie, throws it up, can't get the bounce, battles again, and finally it falls, as Bauman is electrified on a great play, as Joe Jones is doing histrionics on the floor.
Doing histrionics. An interesting way of putting it.
Yes.
He's histrionical?
Yeah, that might be the better way to say it. And there's a turnover by Penn. Scott with the strip back the other way behind the Bauman, rocks the rim to the dam. That makes it 50-44. Columbia matches their largest lead with 13:07 to go.
Two energy plays right there by John Bauman, really working his tail off on the offensive board, and then gets the benefit of a drop off for a dunk. And Glenn Miller says, "You know what? Seen enough. I'm going to call a timeout here." He's only going with a 30. He wants to get Justin Riley in the game.
For John Bauman, he has 12 points. The last four might go beyond what the numbers would show on the box sheet with an energy play. It's 50-44 with 13:04 left.
John Bauman really just, in the last couple of possessions, has started to play with that energy and enthusiasm. It's just giving Columbia a little bit of a spark. And there are 50 or so fans in attendance that are cheering for them. Get into it a little bit.
The Penn Quakers in a big fight again for the second night in a row after they went down to the wire, down to the last 2 7/10 of a second against Cornell last night in that 94-92 defeat. Penn's 18th overall loss, their most since 1956-57 when they were 7-19, the worst season ever in program history for Penn. As it's the last game in the career,
the schools in the league would really like to have a 7-19.
Man, but Bauman, though, Vin, man, and Ben Wachuku as well. Maybe they realize this is our last times on the court in a Columbia uniform.
It is a ticking.
The Penn Quakers head to Princeton on Tuesday for a 7 o'clock tip. The red and blue losing twice on their home court so far in the Ivy League slate of this 2007-2008 season. And the last time they suffered three losses at home was back in 96-97. The Penn Quakers have Brian Grandieri, Jack Eggleston, Kevin Iggy, Justin Riley, and Tyler Bernardini on the court. Tyler will inbound it. His club trailing by 6 points. John Bauman has stretched this. Tyler fires, and he can't hit from the outside. An offensive rebound corralled by Justin Riley.
The Columbia defense just runs away from Bernardini right there. He looks around and says, you know what, I might as well shoot it. No one's going to guard me.
Kevin Iggy looking to hand off, and it is off the midsection of Kevin Bolger beneath the bucket. 12:47 to go in the second half as it is Kashif Sweet who comes in for Brett Lascalzo. Lascalzo, another senior who's having a very solid performance this evening. He has 9 points all from the outside. Kevin Iggy getting ready to inbound on the near right baseline. Penn had a 33-32 edge at intermission. Iggy trying to inbound, and he lobs it out to Grandieri, deflected by Ascenso Ampim. It's free. Tyler Bernardini recovers for the red and blue in the backcourt, and will run back up the floor.
And Nico Scott probably should just get that possession right there. No shot clock reset. I'm not sure why that's happened.
Nine on the shot clock. Perhaps it's going to reset. Tyler hops in and off balance. Can't get it to go. Rebound beneath by Bauman as Columbia comes back the other way. Scott beating Bernardini had his pocket picked from behind by Brian Grandieri out of bounds off of Brian.
The drop off there for a second, Dustin, to give a tutorial to the Columbia folks that getting a sub. Somebody's getting upset that we couldn't usher somebody into the game. Sub. No, they got to go another 10 feet.
Yeah, but he's here in front of you.
That ain't in the description for
it. They got to go another 10 feet. Top of the arc, Kashif Sweet swings a near sideline left to Kevin Bolger. Away from the play, Justin Riley fouls John Bauman. Penn's bigs, plenty of problems on the post.
That is a senior showing a sophomore how it gets done. Justin Riley doesn't like the call, but John Bauman just bought that call right there. He let Bauman get into him. He let Riley get into him. He let him push him around a little bit, and then he just kind of made it look like that's what it was. So good job by the senior.
Sixth team foul against Penn off the inbounds. Lascalzo's amped in when he nearly lost the ball. He recovers on the far right wing. Hands off to Lascalzo, who resets
out of the far right corner.
Ampin can't catch a cold. He's had a couple that have come right to him, and he just plays like he's wearing oven mitts.
Bolger mishandles. It's free on the far side. Tried to throw it off Grandieri, but instead, the flex to Iggy. Bernardini, near sideline right. Penn trailing by six. Interior pass. Baptist to Grandieri, and he gets his second field goal to fall. He has five, and the Quakers have climbed within four. 50-46, 11:38 to go.
Nice job by Brian Grandieri getting the ball up the floor. And Jack Eggleston, we say it all the time, probably the Quakers' best at feeding the post. Gets it to Brian right there, is able to deposit the deuce.
Nico squat at the top of the arc, and it's free in the backcourt. It's tracked down by Scott.
Flip of the tongue is not a slip of the mind. Celtics, it's okay.
Top of the key. Bolger inside off the back of the box for two.
We're going to need to recover now. We can take our own timeout right there.
52-46. It is the 30th game of the season. 11 minutes to go in the second half. Columbia in front.
Surprised it took us this long.
Kevin Iggy, near sideline right. Interior pass by Grandieri, not able to be handled by Eggleston. And it's a flex to Bellman. Penn is trailed by six now three times.
And despite my tutorial, Ben Wachuku tried to check in through me again.
I'm just going to start sending guys out there.
Go ahead. You're in.
Scott pinned to the far right sideline by Bernardini. Can't shake him. There's Lascalzo top of the arc to Bolger, who hoists the three off the mark, wide to the right, but Justin Riley can't secure it beneath the bucket.
I'm going to say it's out of bounds off Columbia. And Bolger missed that one. We have had some shots that have missed by margins that I've never seen before. He missed that one by 7 feet. He almost didn't hit the bottom of the backboard on the side past the rim. That was incredible.
10 minutes and 24 seconds left in the second half. Timeout on the floor. The score, Columbia edging 10 by 6 so far. 52-46. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 XPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Abner's Cheese Sticks supports Penn Basketball on XPN. For more than two decades, Abner's has been an integral on-campus establishment, serving its famous cheesesteaks and fresh garden salads. Abner's Cheese Sticks, located in University City at 3818 Chestnut Street.
Business support of WXPN benefits both XPN and your business. Did you know that over 80% of public radio listeners tell us that your company's support of their favorite radio station has a direct and positive influence on their buying habits and decisions? Find out how your business can benefit by supporting WXPN. Go to xpn.org and click on Business Support.
10 minutes and 24 seconds remaining in the second half alongside Vince Kern, Brian Seltzer, Columbia leading Penn 52-46. And Vin Man, the feel so far is that Columbia, they are ready to try and erupt on Iran, and they haven't been able to string points together consistently, but Penn's offense, somewhat inconsistent here in the second half.
Somewhat inconsistent. That is being kind. The Quakers 15 for 42. Yes, Brian, 15 for 42 so far. So the fact that you're only down 6 points with that kind of field goal percentage should be somewhat encouraging.
Iggy tosses it up. No good. Rebound Riley with the hook shot, and he hits it. Justin Riley with four. The Quakers down by that much, 52-48.
Good job of getting the ball to the baseline, Kevin Iggy. Look, he might have a little contact right there, but the fact that the Columbia defense rotated to him left Justin Riley there to get the offensive rebound and a little hook shot stick back.
Bolger, top of the arc, operating the offense for his Lions. Now it goes to a central anthem above the key. Interior pass to Wachuku over Riley. A thought of his home. Nothing but nylon.
That's a play right there that Wachuku goes up, makes a great catch in traffic, then chins the ball as Harrison Gaines is trying to double him and knock it away. Remains strong and shoots a jump hook. Where has this been for 4 years?
Columbia's post players playing like they are the best front court in the conference. Nearly turned over by Penn, but they save it far side to Iggy. Eggleston on the left block over the top of Ampton draws the foul. And Jack will go to the strike trying to get on the board for the first time tonight.
A creative play created by the way Jack Eggleston barrels across the lane hard to get that low block position. He posts hard Anthem was back on his heels from the second Jack came across the lane. And a nice job by our man Jack. He's going to get two free throws.
Jack shooting at 84.5% from the foul line. The southpaw sets up, puts it on the way, and it's off the back of the orange. No good.
Nice whammy jammer right there, Selke. Nice maloiks, as you guys like to say.
Just his 10th miss this season from the foul line on 59 attempts. Jack aiming to get one. It is up. It is good. Jack with 1 point tonight. Penn down by 5, 54-49. Full court press picked up by Penn with 9:10 to go. Bulger crosses the timeline. Eye down by Kevin Iggy. Lascalzo met by Gaines at the top of the arc. Lascalzo starts near left to a cutting Montgomery. Goes up and he throws it in the pin.
It's a walk. It's a four-step jump stop by Mac Montgomery. But Lascalzo does a nice job. It's the old dribble at, go back door. Lascalzo dribbles at Montgomery. He goes back door.
56-49, the largest edge for Columbia at 7 points. Gaines igniting on the baseline. Down low to Iggy, who's fouled in the process of shooting.
Nice job by Harrison Gaines maintaining his dribble right there. Pachuku runs at him late. And he's still able to get the ball on the baseline to Kevin Iggy and get the two free throws.
Kevin Iggy, if he manages to punch in one of these foul shots, will have a new career high with 16 points. He's sitting at 15 right now. The right-handed junior twirls the ball around after the dribble, sends it on the way. No good.
He did it again, Brian.
I got to stop.
Trying to get Kevin Iggy a new career high. There you go. And he clanks the free throw.
56-49 the score with 8:40 to go. Quakes trying to carve into Columbia's lead. Iggy's second one. You can count it for 10. And there's the new career high of a sweet 16 for Iggy. Again, the full court pressure by Penn. They trap Lascalzo momentarily, and now he starts to motor up the court. Lascalzo across the timeline, far side right. Top of the key, Montgomery. Montgomery had the pass deflected by Bernardini, and now Gaines back the other way. Ahead to Eggleston, settles down a high pass over his shoulder. He's stuck. Far side, of course, to Montgomery, who lost the ball. Tiptoes the sideline, but not enough as he stepped out. As he couldn't settle his balance.
Surprised they don't blow a whistle on Tyler Bernardini right there. As he and Montgomery kind of come together. I thought Montgomery might have had possession first. Ball comes loose. Columbia's just not able to finish it. But big Ben Wachuku on the defensive end now. As Jack Eggleston does a great job of busting it down the floor. Big Ben there to erase it. And a little work being done by the referee to dry up the wet spot.
Storyline been man in this game, the fact that for the Penn Quakers, they have three seniors, but only one plays a regular role on the floor in Brian Grandieri, whereas for Columbia, they have a couple in the class of 2008, like Bauman, like Montgomery, Lascalzo, Wachuku. Four starters are seniors, so they're playing with that urgency, that intensity that sometimes the only seniors can evoke.
Playing with the urgency now. Where was it 2 months ago when they needed it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's when you're seniors, you got to play the whole Ivy League season like this.
Iggy foul line, the jumper can't jack it up, and there to pull in the rebound is Ben Wachuku. It remains 56-50 with 7:54 left in the second half. Handoff goes to Bulger off the fingertips of Montgomery, so another turnover for the Lions.
Another one of those games that's going to set offensive basketball back about 100 years. Neither team can get anything going offensively. And Columbia, as I've said before, playing like they're wearing oven mitts out there. Let's cut the possession.
The Quakers have had problems from the floor. Can they somehow, in this final quarter of this game, get something going and try to sneak out a win on their final home weekend, senior night here at the Palestra? 7:47 left in the second half. Timeout on the floor. The score, Columbia 56, Penn 50. It's Quaker basketball on 88.5 XPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
My head keeps turning like Russian roulette. Thoughts are like bullets. I cannot do this.
Hi, this is David Dine. Join 88.5 SPN at Beggar's Banquet Friday, April 4th at Knowlton Mansion. It's an intimate evening of dining, dancing, and asking embarrassing questions of rock stars and celebrities. Your contribution of $250 will get you a seat at the table. Dine with your favorite XPM personalities, musicians like Rob Hyman and Eric Bazillion of the Hooters, David Lowery of Crackers, David Bromberg, Francis Dunnery, and other attending dignitaries. Plus, a silent auction, live music from the Blue Method, and more. All proceeds benefit XPM. It's a great night for great radio. XPM's Beggar's Banquet on Friday, April 4th. More info at xpn.org from the station that eats to the beat. 88.5 XPM.
Penn's going to need to make a push if they want to try and pull themselves back into this game, trailing Columbia by 6, 56, 57, 47 to go.
Penn had 10 turnovers in the first half, only 3 so far in the second half, so they're doing a better job of taking care of the ball. But what they're not doing a better job of doing is taking care of the ball and actually putting it in the basket.
Yep.
And they're struggling offensively. Got some good looks, just not able to get anything to go down. Maybe a little hangover from last night's emotional game against Cornell.
Riley stops the foul line. Penn with the ball from left to right. Gaines far sideline left. Top of the arc to Eggleston. Back to Harrison, 19 to shoot. Garrison motors to the foul line. Hops in the lane. The right-handed runner. Bottom cone.
Gaines again does a good job of keeping his dribble alive, being patient when the double team comes. And then when it goes away, he's able to get all the way to the 10.
56-52, the Quakers seeking to clamp down defensively with 7:10 to go. Wachuku wants his. Under Eggleston, 2 points for Ben.
Joe Jones has got to be sitting there going to himself, this is what I had. This is what I thought I had when I recruited him. And he's done nothing like that. He's averaged 6 points a game this year. Are you kidding me?
He's tied a season high of 21. Grandieri gobbles up a pass in the lane, feeding Eggleston far left baseline, short on a shot. Brian follows, and he gets the attempt to fall. A four-point contest. Quakers behind, 58-54, 6:35 to go. Spring break, so the student section a little bit threadbare tonight at 10. Montgomery, the finger roll doesn't fall. Aggressively pulling down the rebound as Riley Harrison Gaines runs back the other way.
How about the fact that nobody for Penn comes to pick up Montgomery, and he still misses the finger roll? There's two guys that have their backs turned to him. He takes that shot.
Gaines gasses off the glass, too strong, down and underneath. Stands strong for the rebound. That could have been a big possession for Penn right there.
It was a big possession. You make it. I mean, either way, regardless.
Oh, Kelsey, we're fired up here.
About the walk at the top of the key.
Bolger in the near left corner takes a timeout as the Lions couldn't get anything going offensively with 5:56 to go. 58-54 is the score. And for Penn, persistence is very important in this game because we witnessed last night what happens if you don't really take the scoreboard into account and just continue to go after them.
In a game, though, last night, it had more energy and more flow.
Yeah.
Right now, you're only down 4 points, so you don't even need to look at it like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? Just continue to play.
For the Columbia Lions, as we take a look at some of the point totals in this game, for John Bauman, he has 12 points. Ben Wachuku with 21, so Vin Man, that means I do a
John Bauman
little bit
15,
of,
actually, Brian.
Pardon me, don't want to shortchange
he's
John.
He's shorting him on that three-pointer he made at the beginning of the half for the entire game.
There you go.
The entire half, I should say.
So combined, it's 36 points, 36 of Columbia's 58 out of the front court. Well, Scales are top of the arc. Here's sideline left Bolger. 12 on the shot clock for Columbia. And a foul on the floor, Connor Turley. Commits the crime on Big Ben.
Ben Wachuku going to go to the line where he is a 69% free throw shooter. And just to finish that point, you're saying Columbia had 36 points in the paint there from their front court out of their 58. They killed 10 on the perimeter up there. So it has been, and maybe Glenn Miller said, all right, we're not going to let that happen again. But the point counterpoint to that has been Columbia's bigs have been getting it done. And Big Ben misses that badly. As I always say, miss free throws, miss front ends of one-on-one. When an offensive rebound happens, it's as good as a turnover or as bad as a turnover. And Mac Montgomery gets the rebound for Columbia.
Montgomery has Lascalzo in the near left corner. Eyed down by Gaines. A long lob inside off the hands of Wachuku. Last touch by Bernardini as the shot clock stops at 17.
Wachuku does a good job, though, of walking Connor Curley up the lane. And his hands are, he's got good hands. He's strong. I don't know why he's not more productive.
Top yard Bauman hands off to Montgomery, who takes over in the middle of the floor. 12 to shoot for the Lions. They hand off to Lascalzo, who stands beneath the Palesa logo at the center of the court. Lascalzo fronted by Gaines, far right feet to Bulger. The right-handed runner doesn't go. Rebound offensively with Chukwu, and he drains the hook shot.
If you're 10, you really can't complain about the possession right there. Columbia gets a rough shot at the end of the shot clock as Glenn Miller calls the timeout. Chukwu actually looked like he walked a little bit as he went up right there. But again, great hands. That ball came off hot. He was able to control it and gather and have some strength. And now 23-9 for Ben Chukwu with 5 to go in this game. Really putting his stamp on it.
And it makes you wonder, we've talked about this the entire night, what is it that flicks the switch for him? He can erupt for big nights. He had 21-16 against St. Francis earlier this season, 20-11 against Harvard, but only 8 before tonight, and now he has 9. Only 9 on this season, 9 double-figure performances.
I don't know what it is, Brian. I mean, you look at him in a game like this and go, my God, this kid can hoop a little bit. And then you see him other times, and it's like he's never seen a basketball before.
Reports out of Columbia say that he is very, very focused on his academics, and there's no fault there, but there have been other good students that have played basketball as away from the play. Tyler Bernardini hits the deck, and that is the 7th team foul against Columbia. It goes against Kevin Bulger. That's his 4th. Pardon me, the 8th now for it is, Columbia.
It is, though, Brian, a commitment academically and athletically when you go to one. Everybody's got to do it.
Yeah.
All right, so why is it that all of a sudden Ben Wachuku got dumb tonight? He decided he wasn't going to concentrate on his academics tonight. He was going to be a better basketball player. And it's just one of those things that you can balance the two and you can be productive in the two. I don't buy that he's spending too much time on his academics. I think there's some other problem as Tyler Bernardini makes the first. I shouldn't say problem. Some other issue out there that for why he hasn't been more productive as a player.
A crucial front end for the Quaker freshman. It's 60-55 now with 4:55 left in the second to make it a 4-point contest. And Tyler connects as the roll rattles home. Penn and Columbia, neither has had the chance to put their stamp on this game. It's been played at 6 and 4 points the past couple minutes. Kashif Sweet in the middle of four, far sideline right, to Nico Scott. Picked up by Shriver, near sideline left, to Montgomery. 15 to shoot for Columbia. Montgomery picked up by Grandieri, near left point. He plays catch with Bauman. Montgomery with 8 on the shot clock at the top of the arc. Now with 5. With 4, Montgomery waits. Makes his move left with 3, 2, 1. Lost the ball. They're not going to get the shot off. A defensive stand for the red and blue.
Just an atrocious offensive possession for Columbia. I mean, it's just awful. Nothing happened. Wachuku's trying to work. He's trying to get the ball on the low block. They don't even look at him. This is 2 possessions in a row. They've gone down to the end of the shot clock because they haven't tried to do anything.
And Montgomery just stood there. He knew there was 10 seconds to shoot. The Quakers trying to make it a 1-possession game. Grandieri going rackward with the left hand. Off the glass. It's good. 60-58. Their senior making a statement with 4 minutes to go in the second.
You knew he would. Brian Grandieri in his last home game. His last game here at the Palestra wasn't going to go quietly, and Joe Jones has decided with just under 4 minutes to go that he wants to call timeout.
2 points is the deficit for Penn with 3:54 left. 60-58 is the score, and we've discussed all season, Vin Mann, where does Penn make progress in terms of maturing, growing, developing, back-to-backing wins on these Ivy weekends. Very important, and also we should mention tonight the Penn has never been swept on a home Ivy League weekend, and right now that little trend is in jeopardy.
And it's never happened.
Penn has never gone 0-2.
Dynamite drop in, Brian. I was a late arrival here because I threw another game. I hadn't gotten a chance to read that in the game, though. So here we go. Penn in danger of that tonight. And Princeton wins last night, so we could have that 1-3 if that happens. What was it, the 1-3 for the second time ever?
Yeah.
doesn't have to speak to the dominance of these two programs in the Ivy League.
Columbia with the ball from right to left and a two-point 60-58 edge. The red and blue have responded defensively the last two times, looking for another stop. Outside Montgomery, thought three. Grandieri picks him up. A near steal by Schreiber. He dives. He's got it. Tried to call timeout. And now, what's the whistle on the play? They say it's a jump ball. And the possession arrow
remains
Columbia's way.
Remains with Columbia. Now, there was a shot clock reset right there. Be interesting to see if they do. I think Glenn Miller is saying the same thing. Why'd the shot clock reset?
The officials conferring on the court, and they'll have an answer when we come back. 3:36 to go in the second half. Timeout on the floor. Another exciting finish at the Palestra. 60-58, Columbia on top of Penn. With Quaker Basketball on 88.5 XPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Pepsi supports Penn Basketball on XPN. For more information about Pepsi products, like the traditional cola, the new Diet Pepsi Max, and purified Aquafina water, the website is Pepsi.com. Pepsi, it's the cola. For the most up-to-date information on Penn Basketball, visit the official University of Pennsylvania Athletics website at PennAthletics.com.
Hi, this is head coach Glenn Miller, and you're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Bomber is out of practice. He has been away a long time, Chelsea. That was our last time out, last chance to bring me back with a little Justin Timberlake. And what happened?
No, we have the Red and Blue Rewind. We have the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet postgame show. The score here at the Palestra was 3:36 remaining. Columbia 60, 10:58. At Princeton, Cornell leading the Tigers by just a three spot, 47-44, with 12 to go in a second. As we update you on the Avner's out of town scoreboard, Graham with 21 seconds to go on top of Dartmouth, 72-69 at the final at Harvard, 81-65. Crimson Cruise, or pardon me, so Bulldogs over the Crimson. Scott, near sideline left on the baseline, pulls up with the left hand, and he records the deuce. 62-58, a four-point game again with 3:15 remaining.
Good job by Nico Scott attacking that baseline and not going too far. Guys will often go too far and draw a charge. He pulls up just at the right time and is able to knock down the eight-footer, but now we get John Bauman coming over the top of big Andreas Schreiber, so your man Dre is going to have a chance for a 1-1.
Good man, going back to Nico Scott, who has started the last 11 outings for Columbia. Those were just his first points of the night. He had 20 in a team-high 36 minutes at Princeton yesterday. Schreiber's front end hits, and Andreas Schreiber, who has not been the most accurate from 15 feet away, comes away with a significant one right there to make it 62-59 with 3:09 to go.
And now Kevin Iggy in for Harrison Gaines.
Schreiber sends number two up and down. Count it. 62-60, a two-point contest once again. Full court press by Penn. Nico Scott on the far right sideline. Stops at the point. Hands off to Lascalzo. 3 minutes to go. Penn trying to put the pressure on. Columbia works offensively. 18 on the shot clock. Top of the arc, Bauman looking to the interior. Puts it on the floor. Has Montgomery top of the key. Puts it up for three, and he can't get the rattle to roll home. And a foul underneath by Ben Wachuku, drawn by Andreas Schreiber.
Going to send Andreas Schreiber back the other way. Wachuku, both Wachuku and Bauman were working, trying to get the ball on the low block. Teammates not able to find them. Montgomery has one of those, nobody's around me, now I'm going to pass, all right, I'll shoot it. And I was so reluctant to shoot it, didn't really have a chance. And then Big Ben trying to back tap, fouls Andreas.
Schreiber brings Penn within one, 62-61, 2:44 left.
And Columbia now in the double bonus, so Andreas gets two free throws. And Penn will be shooting two the rest of the way.
And he ties it up at 62. Andreas Schreiber, 8 points, 4 from the foul line, even with 2:43 to go.
Grant Deary meets Montgomery at the timeline near side left, and Montgomery calls a head fake as Joe Jones calls a timeout for Columbia as Penn once again, Vince, for the second night in a row, down the stretch, and they will not back away.
Fighting back late once again, and Columbia, who had been aggressive offensively throughout most of this night, has seemed to be just content to run clock, and I think when oftentimes the teams will do that, you lose a little intensity, you lose a little effort, a little enthusiasm, and you end up taking a couple shots that you might not otherwise take, and that has been the case here. If Columbia wants to win this game, they need to find that aggressiveness. They need to refine that aggressiveness. If you're Penn, you keep doing what you're doing and make your free throws down the stretch.
Back on February the 8th, the Lions had the upper hand, 74-58. The red and blue aiming to exact revenge. 2.5 minutes to go. Columbia with the ball tied up at 62. Montgomery, the runner, and there's an offensive crime committed by Columbia. And Mac Montgomery, red and blue, regain possession. That's the fourth against Mac.
That might be the worst call I've ever seen in my entire life. And there was some awful ones last night. If you're a Penn fan, thank God. Because there is no doubt in my mind that I'm telling yourself, I know you're excited about it. That was an atrocious call. But here we are. We're Penn fans. We're just the Penn Radio broadcast. I point out the good and the bad.
I'm not doubting your analysis, but the Quakes will take the call.
Yes, we will.
And now look to take the lead. Tied up at 62. 2.25 to go in the second half. Grand Erie to Schreiber. Right side. Trey. Drive inside, gets the bucket, and the lead for Penn, 64-62, with 2:03 to go.
Talk about Joe Jones wondering where that's been from Ben Wachuca. Where has this been from Andrea Schreiber? He has shown an attack and an effort and enthusiasm in his last couple possessions.
The Quaker crowd gets loud with 1:50 to go. Lescalzo, left side, kick out, Bauman, saw three, Montgomery, 15 to shoot for Columbia. Eye down by Iggy Bolger in the near left corner. To Bauman, near sideline left. 8 on the shot clock, a holding foul against Justin Riley. But Tin Man,
1-1 for Big John Bauman. So he's going to need to go to the line and earn it, whereas the Quakers are in the double bonus. They get two every time. Bauman needs to go the 1-1 route. He's a 75% free throw shooter. On Columbia, I take the ball out of Mac Montgomery's hands. He has not made a good decision or a productive play in about 15 minutes.
You're right. Bauman needs this first one for another, and it is all cotton to make it 64-63. 10 by a point now.
The cardiac quake, Celtic.
Once again, Vin Man.
Coming down to the wire.
10-5-3 in games decided by 5 points or less. Columbia 1-1. Bauman's second one is a swish. Knotted at 64. John Bauman continues his big night with 17 points. Kevin Iggy controls it for the Quakers to Tyler Bernardini near sideline right. Schreiber, top of the arc. Dre dribbles off to the near right wing, hands off to Ryland. 1:20 to go, and a timeout is taken by Glenn Miller.
Brian Grandieri and Mac Montgomery were going to war there on the low post. I think Brian, with a little veteran move of his own, was just trying to pick up a cheapie there and go to the line for two free throws. They were battling it out, and Glenn Miller says, all right, lost a little flow here. We got 18 seconds on the shot. So let's diagram something. I wouldn't be surprised to see him try and go back to Grandieri on the low block. Although Andreas Schreiber has had a pretty big impact on the last couple of possessions.
He has had the last 6 points in this game, his last two of which gave Penn a 64-62 edge with John Bauman. He nullified that as he went to the foul line just recently and knocked down a pair of free throws. Penn with the ball inbounding on the far left sideline. 18 on the shot clock.
Overtime, Celtic?
I don't know. Been there.
Home season's almost over. Why not give us 5 more minutes?
I'd take it. It has been a great senior weekend at the Palestra. Top of the key, Kevin Iggy. Bumped around by Wachuku. Riley stops far side left. Bernardini hoists for three. He's fouled in the process of shooting. Well, karma works in funny ways. Tyler didn't get the call late last night from the perimeter. He is headed to the line with three shots.
tonight. And Nico Scott a little late on the closeout. Tyler Bernardini does a good job of drawing it. And when you get hit on a three-pointer, a lot of guys will go down, and Tyler does just that. Gets the call, and now needs to step up and make the three-point throws.
To break the tie at 64, short off the iron, no good. He has two more chances to put Penn in front.
So Jack Eggleston going to come back into the game, probably for Justin Riley. Jack, a better defender, that would be my guess.
Bernardini calmly twists his second. 65-64 Penn, 70 seconds left. As now Jack Eggleston will relieve Justin Riley, who is battling on the block down the stretch tonight for Penn. With a quick slug to pad their lead to 2 points. The right-handed rookie Bernardini can't get his second. A long rebound comes out off the back of the iron. No good.
1 for 3 there. You need to do a little better than that. You need to at least get the 2. Unfortunately for Tyler, not able to knock him down.
A minute to go. 65-64. Penn Columbia with the ball. Nico Scott gets past Bernardini to the bucket. The finger roll rattles around the rim and through. Columbia on top, 66-65, with 49 and 2/10 of a second left.
And Glenn Miller not going to call a timeout. He calls the play. Columbia in the man-to-man. High screen again.
Eggleston near sideline, right hands off to Bernardini. Top foul line, the fader. It doesn't go home. Rebound, Grandieri, and he gets the bounce to make it 67-66, 10. 30 7/10 of a second left. The shot clock is turned off, and Joe Jones is about to use his last timeout.
So very fitting that Brian Grandieri on senior night did such something that we've seen him do so many times. Offensive rebound and a step back to get Penn a 1-point lead.
10 by 1, 26 and a half seconds to go. But timeout, you're on 88.5 FCM.
Abner's Cheesesteaks supports Penn basketball on XPN. For more than 2 decades, Abner's has been an integral on-campus establishment, serving its famous cheesesteaks and fresh garden salad. Abner's Cheesesteaks, located in University City at 3818 Chestnut Street.
Something about you. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Boy. Keep looking at me. Getting scared now. Right? Don't tell me, baby. It's just so good, right?
26 4/10 of a second left. Third place on the line. The Penn Quakers trying to clinch at least a share. Columbia wants it all for themselves. 67-66. Penn in front by 1. Columbia's going to have the ball from right to left, and man, what do they do?
As if I weren't already excited to get a little JT to bring me out to bring us home.
From Columbia, I put the ball in Bauman's hands. I'm getting him on the low block, although Wachuku has been doing it on the low block all night.
I got to go to Bauman just because he's a better free throw shooter. Penn fouls.
26 4/10 of a second left. The clock is on. Columbia has the ball.
I take it out of Max Montgomery's hands, but I think this is a mistake. Get it out of his hands. He's been atrocious for about an hour.
16 seconds to go. Scott is fouled on his way to the hoop with 15 and a half seconds to go. Penn leading by 1, 67-66.
I tell you, Nico Scott aggressively taking that ball to the basket right there. I think he had that kind of burst. He's another 75% free throw shooter. I'm calling 1 for 2 here, Celtics.
All right, Penn, man.
I'm calling it. That's what I think is going to happen.
Penn needs to box out. There are 2 shots. As the crowd gets loud, the southpaw Scott is well sorted. Barely hit the iron.
Not even close, Nico Scott.
15 and a half seconds to go. 67-66. 10 by 1. Can Scott tone out the noise for the tie? It's on the way. It is good. 67 apiece. Bolger comes in. Penn does have 1 timeout left.
And not using. I think Andreas Schreiber thinks that Penn just used the timeout.
So Dre will inbound. The shot clock turned off. 15 and a half seconds to go. Tied up at 67.
Glenn Miller is going to call timeout as they get over half court and set something up.
Iggy brings it across, and he takes it with 13 seconds flat to play. Knotted up at 67. Vin Man, what a great weekend in University City.
What a perfect way to end it, Celtics. Going down to the wire. And I think Glenn Miller, don't know. I think you go to Brian Grandier here.
It would be storybook perfect to close out his Quaker career at home with a game-winning shot.
Well, he's a guy that can get a little work done down on the low block. He can draw fouls down there. He's very good at finish. So I think he's probably who I would go to.
Quick ID on 88.5 XPN.
This is 88.5 WXPN Philadelphia, 88.7 WXTH Middletown, York and Lancaster, 90.5 WKHS Wharton, Baltimore, 99.7 Harrisburg, W285 DH North Whitehall Township, 88.5 YROC on HD2, and worldwide at XPN.org. Member-supported radio from the University of Pennsylvania.
13 seconds exactly to play, and the score deadlocked at 67. The Penn fans, the Quakers, have the ball from left to right with plenty of time to try and prevent overtime. The only overtime tilt Penn has played this season, the first game at the Palestra this campaign back on November 11th against Drexel. Penn inbounds, Iggy in the backcourt. 11 seconds to go. Tied up at 67. 9. Iggy starts right. Hands off to Bernardini with 5. Tyler curls left. Puts it up. Short. Underneath it's loose. Tyler follows. Good! With 6 tenths of a second left. 69-67. Scott, no good. Penn pulls it out. The seniors sent off in style as the Quakers manage a 69-67 triumph.
How many times have you seen that? Balls coming off loose late. Guys will rush that. You saw Tashid Carr for St. Joe's do that against LaSalle. Same spot here at the Palestra. He wasn't able to come up. Power, great presence of mind, and a terrific finish for the Quakers.
The red and blue rookie says, you know what, upperclassmen? I've got you tonight.
I'm going to send you out in style.
69-67, the final score as the Penn Quakers, with a very green group in 2007-2008, clinch a share of third place in the Ivy League Conference. And if they happen to win on Tuesday, it'll be theirs all alone. 69-67, the final score. Penn lost by 2 last night. They win it by a deuce this evening. We come back, regather our thoughts, and bring you the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet post-game show here on 88.5 XPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Pepsi supports Penn Basketball on XPN. For more information about Pepsi products, like the traditional cola, the new Diet Pepsi Max, and purified Aquafina water, the website is Pepsi.com. Pepsi, it's the cola.
Hi, I'm Johnny Meister, and every Saturday night, starting at 7, I play the blues for you on XPN. The blues is the deepest root of America's popular music, and on the Blues Show, we've got blues from every decade from the 1920s to the present decade, whatever it's called. From town to country, solo to big band, Bessie Smith to B.B. King, we have the blues Saturday night, starting at 7, here on XPN.
Picking up where the action left off, it's Red and Blue Rewind, presented by Comcast Sportsnet. Now bringing you a complete recap and reaction from coaches and players and analysis of the final stats. Back to Vince Curran and Brian Seltzer.
Tyler Bernardini did not have a chance to possibly win the game for Penn last night as they fell by 2 to Cornell. But Tyler made up for that this evening. His runner on the far left baseline off of a miss that was deeper out on the left wing, went down, and the Penn Quakers went up 69-67 with 6 tenths of a second left. And the desperation heave by Nico Scott for Columbia was wide to the left. And the final game on campus in the careers of Brian Grandierie, Joe Gill, and Mike Katz, it all ends on a positive note, then, man.
Ends on a positive note, and I was saying that I might look for Brian Grandierie on the low block. Actually, the play that ends up being run is Tyler Bernardini coming all the way across using a couple of various ball screens. Gets a decent look from about 14 feet on the left baseline. Shot comes up short, but he has the presence of mind to attack it again and to get one up right before the buzzer. And 6 tenths of a second to go. Columbia really didn't have a chance at anything to finish it off.
The Red and Blue Rewind, Comcast Sportsnet postgame show. You're on 88.5 X10 alongside Vince Kern, Brian Seltzer. The Blue Show with Johnny Meister coming up right after we conclude here. And Jim, man, as we have the final stats in front of us, well, no, why don't we do the out-of-town scoreboard first?
Okay, Brian.
We'll do the out-of-town.
However you want to do it. You get to call the order.
A final in Cambridge, Massachusetts, 81-65. Yale finishes this 2007-2008 season at a disappointing 13-15 overall, 7-7 in the Ivy League. So depending on what happens with Penn as they improve to 7-6 in the conference with one game to go, Yale's best hope is that they could finish tied for third. At the worst, they're going to be in fourth. Harvard finishes up 8-22, 3-11, and what should be just a miserable offseason for them.
8-22, 3-11, and under investigation by the NCAA. Tommy Amaker kind of pushing the envelope there at Harvard.
And the Crimson pushed aside by Yale tonight, 81-65. Brown squeaks one out at Dartmouth, 75-71 the final. As Brown, a great season for them, 19-9 overall. Their 19 victories, the most in program history, 11-3, a very solid Ivy League finish for second place. As Dartmouth drops to 10-18 in the defeat and 3-11 in the conference. So Harvard, Dartmouth, and who knows after what happens tonight, Princeton, they're all tied in the win column with 3. So Harvard and Dartmouth and Princeton, they could all wind up tied. Cellar dwelling and what is officially 6, but basically in the basement.
Officially 6 because nobody else is below them?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Still left. Last is last.
And speaking of the Princeton Tigers, after they had a very solid showing last night, 75-64 over Columbia, they are trailing Cornell by 6 points, 57-51, with 5 1/4 to go in the second stanza.
Hanging tough with Cornell. You're going to give Princeton a little credit. Building for the future, obviously not getting it done this year, but they get a nice win against Columbia last night. And it should be a fun game on Tuesday. Rivalry games, always a lot of fun.
For the Princeton Tigers and the Cornell Big Red, it's an interesting juxtaposition because Cornell is trying to be the first team since Princeton to run the table in the Ancient Eight.
Did you just say juxtaposition?
Yeah.
How about you? By the way, that's incorrect.
What is it? What would it be?
Cornell's not the first team since Princeton to run the table in the Ancient Eight.
Since Princeton did it in 2003,
the last time Princeton did it? Are you sure?
Yeah, man, that's a bona fide fact.
All right, well, you're going to have to tell our friends on CN8 then. They had the wrong stat last night.
I believe. I could be wrong, but I am almost positive that that is the case because the Quakes did not have an unblemished season the last 3 times. We'll go to the record book, and as I give you the scores one more time, the Vin Man will have an answer. Yale knocks off Harvard, 81-65. Brown beats Dartmouth, and Cornell is holding on to a 6-point lead against Princeton, 57-51, with 5:13 to go.
You are correct, Brian, by the way. I just checked it here for us. So, score one for the Celts. Mark this one down. And our friends on CN8 led me astray last night.
Well, Vin, man, I know your intel is usually good.
Yeah, it's usually spot on.
69-67, the final score here at the Palestra. A game winner for Red and Blue rookie Tyler Bernardini, who stepped up down the stretch as the Quakers came from behind late to clinch this victory that lets them improve to 7-6 in the conference and overall at 12-18 as Columbia drops to 14-15 and 7-7 in the Ancient Eight as they are done. Vin Man, now it's time for the final stats in DC.
Piece of business, Brian.
Absolutely. DC, what do you see?
What do I see? I thought we were going to do the Smokey Joe's player again.
Well, that will come at the end of the analysis of the final stats.
What do I see? I see Quaker 69, Columbia Lions 67. Columbia really got it done in the front court. Big Ben Wachuku with 23. John Bauman with 17. Balanced effort for the Quakes. 4 players in double figures, led by Kevin Iggy with 16. Tyler Bernardini with 15. Brian Grandieri with 11. And Andreas Schreiber with a big 10. Especially down the stretch.
Those free throws.
Free throws and then that last layup, a little drop step move that he made to get the layup. Big contribution down the stretch for Dre.
And for the Quakers, as we take a look back at some of these numbers with about, let's say, how many minutes are we going to go with here as I try to save myself from just rambling? Here we go. With 7:47 to go, Penn was shooting 33% from the field. And then down the stretch, they improved that to 39 by the four-minute mark, and then they finished the second half shooting at 43%. So Penn picked it up in terms of their consistency shooting down the stretch.
Started to make shots. Sometimes it's that simple. They had gotten good looks for most of the evening, but finally start to make them down the stretch.
Vin Man, it is that time. Your second-to-last Smokey Joe's player of the game.
What, am I fired after this year?
No, I meant for this season.
Okay. Well, the Smokey Joe's player of the game, according to Bob Bombera, there will be an evaluation. Smokey Joe's player of the game probably comes down to a couple of guys. Actually, the four Quakers in double figure, you could pick any one of them. I'm probably going to go with Kevin Iggy just because in the first half, he really got it going, and I thought that he kept the Quakers in the game. Down the stretch, you could argue Tyler, you could argue Brian Grandieri, Andreas Schreiber, big down the stretch. But I don't think any of that matters if Kevin Iggy doesn't come out and have the first half that he has.
As any good journalist is taught to do, I'm going to ask you a follow-up question.
What's that? Everybody here is upset with me. They didn't like the Kevin Iggy call.
Last weekend, Tyler Bernardini went scoreless in 18 minutes, fouled out at Brown. And perhaps at that point, his possibility as Ivy League rookie of the year may be a little bit up in the air. After 25 last night against Cornell and 15 tonight, the game winner, is he back in the running for that recognition?
Who else would it be?
Pete Sullivan from Brown?
Please. I mean, yeah, I understand that. But Pete Sullivan he's had an okay year for a very good team. But, I don't know. I mean,
I think Tyler's made his case.
Yeah, he's made his
Tyler
case.
Tyler has made his case.
I think my initial knee-jerk reaction of please is, I think Tyler Bernardini definitely deserving of that award.
Tyler Bernardini is the Smokey Joe's player of the game.
Hey,
it is, yes.
What is Smokey Joe's?
It is the Penstitution.
It is.
Indeed.
We're if I wanted to go have an adult beverage or a soda or something like that, where might I find it?
Vin Man, you could just head a little west.
Head a little west.
Up Walnut.
Up Walnut.
Get to 40.
Okay, then what?
Hang a left. And somewhere between Locust and Walnut, you will find on your right-hand side.
So between Walnut and Locust, actually, if I'm taking it.
Confuse
people.
I'm sorry.
I just want to get it straight.
All right. So Tyler Bernardini is the Smokey Joe's player of the game. Once again, the final score, Penn 69 and Columbia 67.
Quaker is back with you, Brian.
I was getting to that, Vin Man. It was a pleasure, and I'm glad we will share Tuesday night together.
Indeed we shall.
So the Quakers clinch a share at least of third place in the league, and if they get their eighth conference triumph on Tuesday.
Here, Stussy, the fans here called me to give you a hug.
I'll take it, Vin Man. I'll take it. It'll be third place all
the
time.
He's blessing again. He feels like a senior night last year, walking out on the floor.
The Blues Show with Johnny Meister is coming up on XPN. The final broadcast of Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is Tuesday, March 11th. We return one more time to the Sports Radio 950 WPEN AM airways. The Quakers conclude the 2007-2008 campaign against their ancient eight arch nemesis, Princeton, on the road at Jadwin Gym. The Pepsi pregame at 6:45. Hit time is slated for 7 o'clock. Tremendous thanks to everyone at 88.5 XPN for their contributions throughout this season, especially.
There's
a way to set this up. I leave the best for last.
All right, get to it.
Our production staff, Rob Sank, Ian Seltzer, my brother from another mother, dropped the BR in again.
A lot of coal.
Ian Seltzer, Ted Rawlings, and Chris Zervudis, engineers Jared Stiles and Andrew Davis. The program director of 88.5 XPN is Bruce Warren. The station GM is Roger LeMay. And, of course, the executive producer of Penn Men's Basketball on 88.5 XPN is the bomber, Bob Bombera. Thank you, Bob, very much. And now for our on-site crew of production assistants, Brandon Bell and Sam Tidings, this is Brian Seltzer for Vince Curran saying so long from the palestra, where the Penn Quakers pull out a 69-67 triumph over the Columbia Lions. Have a great night,
Brian.
I already said what it was.
Johnny Meister in the Blues.
Of course.
All right.
Have a great night with Johnny.
There you go.
Right here on the Penn Sports Network.
Oh.